shotglassdigital.com.
This is what you can look forward to on our road trip anniversary episode 94 of Skywalking Through Neverland.
Hey everybody, this is Denise Vasquez, Star Wars artist, here wishing Skywalking Through Neverland a happy, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Jimmy Mack here. When you wish upon a podcast, wish upon this podcast. These guys are awesome.
Hi, Richard and Sarah. This is Kai, a.k.a. Yogi Kai. I was calling to wish you the happiest podiversary. I think I just created a word.
This is Margaret Carey, Tinkerbell.
This is Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett from Star Wars.
This is Steve Sansweet from Rancho Obi-Wan.
Hey, it's James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I happen to be skywalking through Neverland right
and
now.
I am skywalking through Neverland.
I've always hated space travel.
My name is Kaya. I am skywalking through Neverland.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
There it is. Listen.
A billion years in the making.
Welcome to Neverland.
What do you know?
You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll kiss $3 goodbye.
Hey, hey, Skywalkers! Thank you so much for coming back to
Skywalking Through Neverland!
And welcome to any and all new Skywalkers out there. We are the family-friendly Star Wars Disney podcast that brings you entertaining stories from creators and fans.
And this happens to be our 2-year anniversary episode.
This is going to be a good one.
Yes, yeah, so tweet at us at Skywalking Pod. We love it when you do that.
This is Richard, and everyone please say hello to my sweetie wife Sarah, who is currently in the driver's seat as she drives us to Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, hey, sweetie.
Hey, hey. Oh, I guess that's my turn to talk. I was driving and making sure I was the right amount
Don't
of space.
Don't worry about the road. We got a podcast to record.
I'm going to worry about the road.
Priorities, okay?
I'm going to worry about the road because there's Star Wars stickers on this car.
Still, we got a podcast to put out, and the only way we could put out a show this week is to record our wraparounds in the car.
Yep.
Now, we are recording this episode in the city of... Where are we?
Chino?
Are we still in Chino? All right, we're right in between Long Beach and Las Vegas.
Yes.
And we're coming up on the Archibald Ave exit on the... What freeway are we on?
I believe it says the 60 North.
The 60 North, okay. So, hey, you know what? If you're on this area right now, come meet us. We'll have an on-the-road meetup. How's that?
That would work if this were live.
Foiled by logic. But speaking of meetups, we're on our way to Las Vegas for a little getaway, but we're going to meet some people, some of our Skywalkers out there, and that'll be a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And boy, we got a lot of meetups coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm sure you're wondering what's coming up on this week's show, so I'm going to tell you. This is our big anniversary special. We have just completed 2 years of
Skywalking through Neverland.
Going into our third year. So we got lots of highlights to share with you guys. And some of you Skywalkers sent in some messages, which we're so happy to receive. The voicemails and the written messages. So thank you for taking out the time and doing that. And we're going to play the messages and read along to your written messages. And we have some other things to share with you. Like, we went to go visit a 4-year-old little girl who loves Star Wars. We met her at a party a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking nonstop about Star Wars. So we had to go to her house with a microphone and say, okay, let's talk about The Force Awakens. Let's talk about merchandising. Let's talk about Disney. And she just went off. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. And Sarah, what else do we have coming up on this week's anniversary special? All right, hold on. She's switching lanes.
I'm switching lanes.
Did I not tell you about your priorities?
Getting on the 15 North, so that's the gateway to Vegas right now.
It is. But focus on recording the show, okay?
Okay.
You know what we should do? Put one of those podcasting lights on our car, like a police light. That way everyone knows that we're recording, and they'll move out of our way. Do they have those?
No, I don't think they do.
Oh, life is so unfair.
I don't think you're supposed to podcast in the car.
You show me where that is written down, and I'll obey it. Until then, we'll be podcasting in the car to Vegas to the store, to Toys R Us, no matter where we're going. All right, she's busy driving, so I'll tell you what else is going to be going on this week's show. We're going to talk to Margaret Carey, our fairy pod mother. She's got another Ask Tink episode where she's going to answer some of your concerns, some of your questions you may have about your life. You may want some wisdom, and who better to go to than Margaret Carey, who, once again, is the reference animation model for Tinkerbell in the original Walt Disney Peter Pan film. All right, Sarah, let's get on with the show.
But first, here are the things we want to share.
Things we want to share. Things we want to share. Things we want to share.
Okay, so this is what I want to share. We are now officially registered for the Star Wars Half Marathon Dark Side Challenge in Walt Disney World. Now, this was actually quite an accomplishment, because if you weren't already hitting the I want to register now within 3 minutes of the time that the registration opened, it was really super hard to get into the, specifically the Dark Side Challenge.
Didn't we just make it by seconds?
We did. And what was fun about this is we were both on our computers and our phones, because sometimes your phone works better than your computer. And I had to, both of us had to register for the challenge, and I knew it would be pretty hard. So usually I register for both of us. It just works that way. But this time I enlisted Richard to help and register for himself the same time.
She has faster fingers.
Yeah, which is good that I did that, because, like I said, within 3 minutes of registration opening, if you tried to click on the Dark Side Challenge, it said on hold, which meant that you probably weren't getting in. Or you would just have to be lucky and refresh, and it wouldn't say on hold anymore. So anyway, so we were very, very excited to get in. And I know we're going to see a lot of Skywalkers there, because the minute we got into the Dark Side Challenge, we put an event on our Facebook page. And so April 17th, we are doing a Skywalking Through Neverland listener meetup in Walt Disney World. And this is going to be a popular meetup, because I think right now, how many do we have that are like officially confirmed?
Well, we were writing out our notes, we had 54 people attending.
Wow. And these were like confirmed attending, not just, I think we had 20 something people who were maybes. So that's pretty awesome. And
the meetup's going to happen on the same day as the half marathon.
Yes, just probably early afternoon, give everyone time to get back to their resorts. Catch their breath, exactly.
And then like what we did at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, we'll do like a recap of the weekend.
Yeah, and since it'll be a big group, you know, we'll go around.
We'll bring our microphones, we'll bring our recorder, and we'll all have a turn sharing our stories about the half marathon and the 5K and the 10K and the Dark Side Challenge.
Yeah.
And who ran the Kessel Run Challenge.
Oh, yes, the Kessel Run Challenge. Now, this specifically is the coast-to-coast challenge that Run Disney has for if you do the Star Wars half marathon at both Disneyland and Disney World. So I'm excited about this. Richard, we are both getting the Kessel Run Challenge medal.
Just for the name alone, I want to do this.
Yes.
Now, is this a medal, or are we getting, like, a trophy? Because this is, like, trophy worthy.
Okay, so, you know, what's going to be fun about running the half marathon at Walt Disney World is at the end of that particular race, we are going to get 3 medals at once. We're going to get the half marathon medal, Dark Side. We're going to get the Dark Side Challenge medal, and we're going to get the Kessel Run Challenge medal.
By the end of this, we're going to have so many Star Wars medals, it's going to pull the wall right down when we hang them all up.
Mm-hmm.
So we need one of these load-bearing walls.
Yep.
Just for the Star Wars medals.
Yes, yes.
So that is going to be really, really exciting. Now, do you know off the top of your head who's going to be attending the meetup?
Okay, so I know David and Luann Manderville will be running.
The Mandervillians.
Yes. My parents.
Your
will
parents.
Also. Now, they're not doing the half marathon, but they're doing the 10K, my parents. Richard, you and I are doing everything because we're crazy and we have to have all the medals because it's
5K,
the inaugural.
The 10K, and the half.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure I knew that, but
yes.
good to reassure me.
I know. And then Trisha Barr, my fangirl friend from Fangirls Going Rogue. She, for the first time, is doing her first Run Disney race, the 5K.
All right, Trisha.
Yeah, so I'm excited for her. Trisha, watch out. It's addicting. So be prepared to spend more money.
Do we know anyone else is going to be attending the meetup?
Oh, I know several people. I know, like, Matt Clifton. A lot of the people we know. Oh, the Chica Fent.
Good.
Off the top of my head, I can't look at my Facebook page right now.
Why not?
Because I'm driving.
And?
And I can't look.
What did we just go over several times about priorities?
You've got the iPad right there.
Touche.
Well, we look forward to seeing all the Skywalkers there and people we've met before, people we haven't met before. I am very excited. Really? Really?
People on lewds should not drive.
I was on cruise control and this car gets in front of me that's going less than what I was going.
All right, Skywalkers, tweet us if you know the answer. Where did that quote come from? What film? People on lewds should not drive. Tweet at us.
At Skywalking Pod.
All right, good deal. Now, for the meetup, we don't really know where it's going to be taking place just yet.
No,
oh, wait a
but...
minute. What about the...
Jock's Hangar Bar.
There you go.
And Disney Springs has just opened. It's a pretty big place. I don't... Maybe we'd have to meet maybe outside of Jock's Hangar Bar, because I don't know if, like, 50 to 60 people we're going to take it over.
And for those of you who don't know, Jock's Hangar Bar, that's the new Raiders of the Lost Ark-inspired bar at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
It's on the outside, right?
It's in Disney Springs, yeah. So it's outside of Walt Disney World Resort, like, proper. So you do not need a ticket to attend, basically.
Yeah, and Jacques, he was the pilot for Indiana Jones when he was escaping with the idol.
Yeah, and he had a pet snake, Reggie.
So why it's called Jacques instead of Indies, I don't know.
I think the whole thing is Jacques hung up his wings and decided to open his bar.
Right, but
he made enough
people
money.
Will walk by there and not know what that is.
Yeah, but
if you walk
sure
by a bar that says Indiana's, you're going to know exactly what that is.
I know. But I want to definitely check out Jock's Hangar Bar at some point during that weekend.
So, details to follow.
Yes, yes. And we have some Skywalkers who are helping us
figure
out where that is. And we had one Skywalker who took a bunch of pictures of Jock's Hangar Bar just to, you know, check it out for us, and we want to thank him.
Now, who was it that sent us in all those photos?
Oh, yes. So John Ford went to Jock's Hangar Bar, took a bunch of pictures. He's making sure that Disney Springs, you know, is that a good area? How's parking and everything? So we want to thank him very much for doing that.
If you want a full description of what's being served over there at Jock's, go to Mousepire Podcast.
Yeah, they're another Star Wars Disney podcast put on by some of our Skywalking friends, Anthony Fox, who is Team Hoojib. And he has his other co-hosts on with him.
Yep. There's Diggs and there's Shadow, and they really focus on the food at the parks.
A lot, yeah.
So they were all over this. And once again, go to their episode number 10, and they'll give a nice rundown of the whole place. Sarah, what's the one drink you're looking forward to at Jock's?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so they have the Jovitos Mojito. I already like mojitos, but the fact that Jovitos is part of the name just makes it fun.
Oh, that's a drink that just writes itself.
I know. If only you drank mojitos. I mean, if only you drank Jovitos.
If only you spoke Jovitos.
Exactly.
You could warn them.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, let's move on to something else that you wanted to share with the Skywalkers.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So, you know me. I'm a big soundtrack fan. And there was an announcement on StarWars.com that they're releasing 3 different editions of Star Wars soundtracks. So, okay. So, you have the vinyl.
I'll start again. So, Sony Classic is releasing
Sony Classical.
Sony Classical of all 6 soundtracks.
Oh. Why don't you... Well, okay.
So now there's something else you wanted to share.
I do, and it's kind of complicated, and I'm driving, so can you read what the main point is, and then I'll go into what I'm excited about. Whoa!
It's a very loud motorcycle passing right by us.
I did not like that motorcycle.
No. Why do they need to be so loud? All right, so we saw this on StarWars.com that Sony Classical is releasing the Star Wars soundtracks, all 6 soundtracks on 3 different Ultimate Editions.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, so for you vinyl lovers out there, keeping in tradition with what's been going on lately, they're releasing all 6 discs on vinyl.
That one's called the Ultimate Vinyl Collection, and you get all 6 soundtracks on vinyl.
And then the second release...
You know, it's interesting that now places like Best Buy are starting to sell record players again.
They are?
For this new wave of people who love vinyl.
Wow.
It's making a comeback.
Cool.
All right, then we have the Ultimate Digital Collection for those who want the music in digital form.
Yeah, don't want to bother with anything physical, which I can understand. A lot of music I get now are digital. However, my favorite collection is the Ultimate Soundtrack Collection. And that is all CDs. So 6 CDs, plus there's like some extra footage too.
Yeah, there's audio interviews.
Yeah, audio interviews with Harrison Ford and John Williams. Very exciting. And there's an extra DVD.
They're going to include Star Wars: A Musical Journey.
And then also what I like about this collection is that it's kind of a mini version of the vinyl collection. So you're going to get the same covers you'll get with the vinyl edition, only they will be, you know, like miniaturized to fit the CD. So I think that's cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, but there's nothing on here about bonus tracks. Like that Ultimate Anthology that came out in 93 that had some extra Cantina tracks.
Well, they have the DVD and they have this bonus footage of, recordings.
This car next to us needs a muffler.
Yes, it does. So that, I mean, but that I right hear, there like, would be extra.
Yeah, but I want to hear some more bonus stuff.
Okay. Well, I wonder how much this set is, but I know what's going on my Christmas list. Sweetie, what's going on my Christmas list?
I'm not getting this hint. You're going to need to spell it out for me.
The Ultimate Soundtrack Collection will be on my list that I will give to you a couple months before Christmas.
I'm not following this.
You'll follow?
Oh, you know what? You can't put it on your Christmas list, or you can, I guess, but you can't get it until January the 8th.
What?
That's the release date. So
what?
You can put it on your list, but it may be a couple of weeks until you actually get it.
You know what? So that'll be my birthday list then.
Okay, well, you think about when you want it, and I'll continue with things I want to share.
All right.
Season of the Force. Oh my good. They had just released the date that we're going to be seeing Season of the Force at Disneyland right here in Anaheim, California, November the 16th.
It's a Monday.
Didn't they originally think it was going to be in January?
Yeah, I did.
My ears are popping.
I know. Well, we're going uphill.
That would make sense. See, I'm focusing on the podcast. You're focusing on the driving.
Yes.
All right. Now, once again, we'll go back to Season of the Force, which I'm so excited about. Now, this is something that we had shared a couple of episodes ago when we found out about it at the Disney D23 Expo. And this is going to include attractions like Star Wars Launch Bay, which will have dark side and light side offerings.
Yeah. They'll have not only things on display in each... You know, each section, like lightsabers in the light side offering and stormtrooper armor in the dark side.
They're going to have props.
Right, they're props and stuff, yes. But they'll also have meet and greets at these locations. So can you guess who the light side meet and greet will be?
That's right, everyone's favorite Wookiee, Kitwar. No, I'm sorry, that was from Chewbacca. Okay, not Kitwar, it's going to be Chewbacca.
Yay! And he's always fun to get a meet and greet with.
Kitwar?
No, Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah, of course. He gives Wookiee hugs.
Yeah.
And from the dark side.
Dot Vader.
What are you, from Boston? Dot Vader?
No, but I'm remembering your stories.
I haven't said Dot Vader since I left Boston. Yes, Darth Vader will be on the dark side meet and greet. Chewie on the light side meet and greet. And I'm sure as time goes along, they're going to be introducing more and more characters, which will be really fun. I'm just excited to see what kind of props they're going to bring.
Definitely.
Also, they're going to update Star Tours.
Oh.
So on November 16th, we're going to see the updated version of Star Tours where they're going to include a new planet.
That's
what
right.
What will that be?
I know. Well, they're going to include a scene... quote unquote inspired by The Force Awakens.
What does that mean?
That means it's not going to give anything away to the movie, I'm
guessing. Well, we've already seen Jakku.
I know. So it's like gotta be Jakku, because what else could it be?
Yeah, so my money's on Jakku. And Jedi training. That's going to get an update. They're going to have Trials of the Temple, which will include heroes and villains from Star Wars Rebels.
Yay!
That's going to be so much fun to fight the Inquisitor. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, whichever Inquisitor ends up being.
Yeah. I'm hoping they're going to go with the Season 1 Inquisitor. Because
we'll
I want to
see
that spitting lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to fight that. Now, this one here, they should also include adults.
They
should give adults their due.
They really
but
should.
As far as I know, to this point, the only adult that's ever gone on to the Jedi Training Academy is our friend Matt Cox, who we talked to a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this time we're going to be fighting Inquisitors. We're going to be being helped by
Star Wars Rebels characters.
I'm thinking, well, of course, Ezra and Kanan.
Well, I'm almost thinking Ezra and Sabine, because those are the two characters that showed up at Disney World
right.
for Star Wars weekends, and they already have the costumes.
But if they're going to be doing Jedi training,
right.
Sabine will
I
look
know.
Pretty silly, because she doesn't have a lightsaber or is a Jedi.
I know, but maybe she'll come out with the Stormtroopers, and they'll have like a new kind of thing there. I don't know. So I'm looking forward to it, though. But I think it would be really neat to see Sabine.
And also, at the Magic Eye Theater in Tomorrowland, they're going to be showing favorite scenes from the Star Wars films. Now, this is something that we knew about a while ago.
Yeah.
But the inside info we got was that they were going to be in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that if they were going to be in 3D this time around,
they would say it.
They would say it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they just forgot that little detail.
Yeah, this was originally supposed to be ready to go for, I believe, for
Star Wars
Celebration, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't in time, unfortunately.
Now, this theater is already set up for 3D, so you would figure the conversion wouldn't be too difficult.
Right, right.
And, of course, they're going to have some specialty food and drinks.
Yes, they are. I wonder if there'll be Wookiee cookies and Yoda soda.
And blue milk. They gotta have blue milk.
Ah, yeah.
Just like over at Universal, we finally got to taste butterbeer.
Oh, yeah.
We always wanted to know what blue milk tasted like.
That's true.
Wait a minute. Didn't they have that at Star Wars Weekends?
They did. And it wasn't that good. It was a milkshake.
Yeah.
It was a blue milkshake that we couldn't have.
Way too much sugar. But
yeah.
You know what? Maybe they'll do a redo on that.
Yeah?
Yeah. It should taste more like, remember Nestle Quick?
Oh,
they had strawberry and chocolate. It should taste more milky like that.
Yeah, I agree. That would be good.
And I'm sure they're going to have bantha leg instead of turkey legs. Because at Disneyland, if you haven't already been there, every 14 feet, there's a turkey leg stand.
Yes. My favorite thing about Season of the Force, we forgot one point.
Oh, well, I wasn't finished.
Oh, okay.
All right, and my favorite point about Season of the Force?
No, it's my favorite.
No, my favorite.
No.
You already shared things. This is
okay,
my
fine,
turn, okay?
Fine.
You focus on the driving.
Meh.
Now, my favorite, Hyperspace Mountain.
Oh, my goodness.
So, from what we're understanding here, this is going to be in Space Mountain. So, we're on a big roller coaster, and as we're whipping around the corners and bends, there's going to be X-Wings and TIE Fighters all around us on the screens.
Mm-hmm. I think you are the X-Wing.
Oh, you're the X-Wing?
Yeah.
And it's going to be... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's going to be music. What's the description that the Disney Parks blog gave?
Well, it says here, guests will join an X-Wing Starfighter battle.
Bam. See, doesn't that sound awesome?
So, that's not too clear. Are we the TIE Fighters then, or are we the X-Wings?
It's not clear, but it says, and doesn't it say X-Wing Starfighter battle?
X-Wing Starfighter battle.
Yeah, so we're X-Wings.
So are we the X-Wings? Or are we going to be battling the X-Wings?
I think because it says X-Wings, we are the X-Wings.
That would make sense. Or how about this? It's like Star Tours. You never know what you're going to get.
That would be awesome.
Sometimes you're on there and you're battling TIE Fighters. Sometimes you're on there and you're shooting down X-Wings.
Yeah. See, look at the super moon. Whoa.
Oh my goodness. This is like really bright and like right up on us.
It's a day after the super moon night, so it's still pretty big.
That's no moon.
All the cars right now are slowing down to look at the moon.
Yeah, they are.
It's a space station.
Either that or they too are recording a podcast.
Wow. Wow, it's like out there floating.
Cut the shot, all right, too.
All right. Sorry, Moon. Got business to attend to.
Yes.
So what is a big Disney event without a meetup? So, of course, we're going to have a meetup that day, and we figured we can meet everyone right in front of Hyperspace Mountain.
Yep.
And we can all get in line.
And the meetup will be the line for Hyperspace Mountain. Because you know it's going to be a long line.
So details to follow on that one, what time we're going to be there. It's on a Monday, So I'm hoping lots of you will play hooky.
Yes. And here I'd like to give a shout out to my other fangirl friend, Teresa, and her husband, Greg, who are planning a trip to Disneyland during this time anyway, and will actually be there for opening day of Season of the Force.
Okay, so far that's four people on our meetup.
Yep. And as soon as we put out the event on Facebook, we'll have a few more. And we are very excited to all ride this ride together.
So much happening between now and December 18th.
Yeah.
So much.
It's just crazy.
So that is Things We Want to Share.
Yay!
Hey, hey, Richard and Sarah. This is Russ Flores, author of the Seen Unseen Disneyland book series. Just wanting to thank you for such a wonderfully entertaining and professional podcast. Congratulations on hitting the 2-year mark and can't wait to listen to year 3. See you at the Avengers Half Marathon.
It has been 2 full years and 94 episodes.
Oh, and some spin-off shows.
And some spin-off shows since we started Skywalking Through Neverland. We've made great friends from all over the world, from Tunisia, from Brazil,
from Orlando, Canada, from Australia,
and all the way to Whittier, California.
That's right.
All the way up the street. And, of course, we have made some great friends in the Star Wars and Disney universes. People like Jeremy Bullock and Margaret Carey and Steve Sansweet.
Her universe, too, Ashley Eckstein.
And we've met a lot of fans who have created their own podcast and written their own books, made fan films, who just really took Star Wars and Disney and made their own creative endeavors, which we love to hear. We love to showcase here on Skywalking Through Neverland. And, of course, we didn't do all this alone. We've had some great, great helpers along the way, like Rob Dellinger, the John Williams of podcasting.
He makes all our awesome jingles, and it all started with this one.
Skywalking Through Neverland.
Yeah, he sent that over just as a fun little soundbite, and that was one of the first times we'd ever heard from Rob Dellinger. He just sent it in as a fan. And from there, it kind of blossomed into this relationship of him recording all these awesome jingles.
You know what? That was a tidbit I didn't know.
Oh.
We're all learning something here.
Yeah.
Also, a huge shout-out to Donald Wicks and Joey Pittman, who have been just fantastic on posting on our Facebook page and keeping things up to date and posting stories that I think they're posting the stories as they're happening.
Yeah, they're super awesome.
Yes.
And also we want to thank Dave Parfit from AdventuresByDaddy.com who got us all, you know, we started writing for his blog and he has all these great invitations to a bunch of press events in and around LA. So we want to thank him so much for those because we're able to bring you Skywalkers along with us and it's just so exciting.
Yeah, thank you Dave Parfit, AdventuresByDaddy.com. And of course, we want to thank all the other Skywalkers who covered events for us when we couldn't be there. We had people at Star Wars weekends. At last year, Donald Wicks last year was at the Rancho Obi-Wan Gala event.
Yeah, the Galloween then, which wasn't called that then, but that's a fun name, so
yeah.
It sticks.
Museum trips and all kind of fun stuff.
Yeah,
that
Star Wars. Even Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. And Comic-Con and conventions. And I think they get the point by now. But
yes,
that we've had a lot of help. And we really want to thank everyone out there for all the help that you guys have been giving us these last couple of years. And, of course, we want to thank all the Skywalkers who helped out during our Skywalking Through Neverland, an interactive fandom adventure show at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. So thank you guys for making this last 2 years so crazy, so fun, so productive.
And just so cool, and just meeting all of you. It's like the best thing ever.
Yeah, this doing this podcast has really opened up a huge door.
A fandom
that was just closed. We were on the outside going, where's that key? Where is that key? We finally have the key, and now we're inviting everyone in to Skywalking Through Neverland.
Our third year.
So sit back and let's relive some moments from the last 2 years. Now, in this week's Journal of the Rich entry, I truly believe this is why I fell in love with haunted houses as a kid. Now, this haunted house, there were Jawas and Tusken Raiders. So I think I always associated haunted houses with Star Wars. So this haunted house visit happened on the historic day of
October 28th, 1977. Yesterday, me and Sean and Lisa and my mother went to the haunted house. My best thing was the Jawas. A guy came out of the door and scared us. I saw a mummy with sunglasses. Near the end was all computers. Tusken Raider was near them. Some lady was cooking spiders.
And now, longtime Skywalker Chickafent. Chickafent wrote in with a really, really fun message that I can't wait to share with everyone. Chickafent writes, "Hey, hey, Richard and Sarah. Congratulations on entering your third year anniversary of Skywalking Through Neverland. My parents and I have enjoyed so many moments over the past year since we started listening to the show. Many of our favorite Skywalking moments happened at Celebration Anaheim, such as..." And Chickafan's got a list here with bullet points.
Awesome.
So, on the list is meeting fellow Skywalkers in person that we had only met online, becoming an honorary member of Team Hoojib, go Hoojibs, attending your interactive fandom adventure live show. So far, this is a pretty good list.
Yeah.
Having R2-D2 pick my dad's raffle ticket during the interactive fandom adventure live show.
Aww.
Leave it to R2. And of course, getting to meet you and getting a photo. Aww.
Yay.
This list just gets better and better.
You know, Chickafent shares lots of photos on Facebook. We love that.
Yeah, yeah. And as a bonus for my dad and I was getting to meet Mr. Where's Pete's Backstory himself, Mark Ogushewitz. And if you're a Talking Apes TV listener, you'll know exactly what that means. So I will tell Mr. Where's Pete's Backstory, Mark Ogushewitz, that you added him on your list. I'll be very, very happy. So Chickafent goes on. When it comes to the show itself, some of my family's favorite segments have been, and I'm sure they will continue to be, Dave Scale sharing the history of attractions like the Haunted Mansion and Tomorrowland. That seems to be a running theme.
Yeah.
People are really liking the Tomorrowland segment. Sharing your experiences at events like the Disney races you've done or other conventions you've attended.
Nice.
And learning about future items coming to the parks. Beyond the experience and the show itself, my parents and I feel very lucky to have you as friends. Aww.
Aww.
Plus, it's been very fun following your adventures on Facebook.
Likewise.
Thanks for all you do to spread the enjoyment of Disney and Star Wars with the universe. My parents and I look forward to many more years of enjoyment from you both, as well as from all the other Skywalkers that share the experiences with the rest of us. Signed, Chickafent.
Aww. You know, Chickafent might be a plush toy, but man, they've got great grammar and great writing skills.
Yeah, very much so. So thank you, Chickafent, for writing in and sharing with us all your favorite moments from the past 93 Skywalking Through Neverlands.
Yeah, and thanks also for your random cards that you send. We really appreciate those. It just makes us, fills our hearts with joy.
It so does. But you know what fills my heart with joy right now?
What?
Listening to past show clips. Yep, we're going to do a clip show.
But it'll be fun because we're going way back.
Way back. Like this one here. Do you recall when the whole world was elated and astonished and had mixed feelings about the release date for The Force Awakens?
Oh, when it changed from May
to December? When we all thought it was going to be in the summertime.
Right.
And then it changed to December.
So yeah, when was this episode released?
This episode was released in November of 2013.
Wow.
So you gotta figure that release date was released probably the day beforehand, because I know we wanted to get it out there. So this was episode 7.
Wow, yeah. Episode 7. So November 9th, 2013, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Seems like only yesterday. So this clip we're going to play right now is our reactions, as well as Joey Pittman's and Mark Wagoshiewicz, my Talking Apes TV co-host, on how we felt about this winter release date. As John Lennon once said, I heard the news today. Oh no.
Oh boy. Oh no? It's oh boy, but
yeah, it is.
For you, it was oh no.
Yes, news broke. Star Wars Episode 7 now has a release date.
It's a release date, but it's in December.
December 18th, 2015.
Well, that was Richard's reaction to that release date news.
I can't believe it. Not December. Star Wars is a summer movie. Where is their head with this? Had they not been paying attention for the last 36 years?
Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry.
Now, I'm wondering if this has something to do with the recent news about the whole screenwriter shuffle. Because Michael Arndt, who was tackling the script, he was pardoned, let's say. Now J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan are taking the helm, and they're writing the script themselves. So I'm wondering, had Michael Arndt written a script that was approved by J.J., would it be released in 2015 in May?
Right.
But now, because they lost a couple of months, now they have to start over from scratch. Now the release date is pushed back to December 2015.
Since it's always been that summer movie, why didn't they just push it back to May of 2016?
Unfortunately, I think it has something to do with Disney's shareholders. With the Avengers coming out in May of 2015, then to have a Star Wars movie to bookend the year, they're going to make more money in 2015 than ever in Disney history.
Well, should we see what some other fan reactions are to this news?
Yeah, we reached out to a couple of our listeners. First, we have Joe Pittman from Sacramento.
Hello.
Hello, Joey.
Hello.
Joey, thank you once again for joining us on Skywalking Through Neverland. So, the news just broke about the release date of Star Wars Episode 7. Now, what is your reaction to this?
First of all, I thought it was weird that it's going to be in the winter.
Yeah.
Everybody's so used to a summer release, but I just think if they take their time to make an awesome movie, then it'll be worth the wait. So I'm just excited that there's finally a date, so we should get casting news soon. The count out will be colder, but I think I'll be excited once the credits roll up. So
now that it's going to be released in the winter time, would that prohibit you from camping out overnight like most of us did for the other six films?
Not at all.
That's a true fan.
I got blankets, I got beanies, so.
Aww.
Would you rather have it come out in May of 2016, or would you rather have it come out in December of 2015?
It's a summer movie, but I'll be happy whenever it comes out.
Yeah. I know for me, I think if they have to wait, I think I would rather have it summer of 2016 just to get that feel, and like all the kids come out of school and they're watching Star Wars and then they talk about it all through the summer. I guess they're trying to replicate that with winter vacation. You know, like kids are coming out of school and over winter vacation they're going to be talking about Star Wars, but it's
yeah, and plus it's
not
like
a long time.
The Clone Wars movie had the Warner Brothers logo at the front of it, so it was very disconcerting that we were going to see a Star Wars movie with the Warner Brothers logo. Now we're going to see a Star Wars movie in the winter. I'm not sure my head can handle this.
I'm just excited either way, but yeah.
Okay.
All right, Joey. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for your reactions on today's news about the release date of Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Next, we're going to hear from one of our most opinionated show contributors, Mark Wagoshiewicz.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Big news broke about the next Star Wars movie.
What was your reaction to the news?
What was your initial first reaction?
You know, I'm not really worried about when it comes out. The sooner the better, because I am kind of looking forward to this whole J.J. Abrams thing. But the actual date, I guess there's some controversy out there. But to me, just as long as the movie's good, that's what I'm caring about. I know that they're going for a December release, and they really haven't given us a real reason why. The press release basically says that it's to give them enough time to give us a quality product, but I have a feeling they probably have something else in mind, because that's how Hollywood works. I actually kind of like the idea that it's coming out in December. Now, my understanding is that no Star Wars movie has ever been released in anything but May. Am I correct?
You are correct, except for the Clone Wars movie that came out in August.
Okay, so to me, it doesn't really make a difference when it comes out, but the thing is you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but has Star Wars ever gotten any real award notice that hasn't been technical?
Yeah, it did get nominated for Best Picture in 1977, and Alec Guinness was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Okay, so I think it might have more of an opportunity for a win coming out in December, because that's award season, it's more attention to the awards, award situation, and I would really like to see Star Wars starting to get taken as a more serious kind of entity outside of fandom. Most people, like, who aren't fans but just go to movies, they seem to think of Star Wars as a great science fiction movie, and it's time we started thinking of these movies as great movies. And I think that by releasing it in December, in my opinion, around awards season, they're opening it up to be taken a little bit more serious, not only with the Oscars, but with directors guilds, writers guilds, and stuff like that, who are really paying attention to the movies that get released in November and December. Generally, the earlier in the year it is, the more likely it is to be forgotten. And then when you get released in the summer as a tentpole movie, which they would release this as if it was released in the summer, you know all the other studios are going to be trying to compete with it by putting out big movies. It's got a chance of getting a little bit lost. Now, it's not going to get lost because it's Star Wars. So by mixing it instead of mixing it with the typical summer blockbuster fare, they're mixing it with the, hey, these are the movies that we take really serious. I think that you're going to give it a better opportunity to be taken more seriously as a film as opposed to another Star Wars movie coming out. You know, it's something that's going to mix with the top, the cream of the crop, which always comes out at the end of the year.
Yeah,
That's why I'm kind of happy it's coming out in December, because when I think 4, 5, and 6, the first three that came out, are three of the greatest movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one of the most influential movies ever made. It's influenced so many people that, you know, they go dress up every year, and, you know, people have based lives on it. In England, I believe there's actually, on the ballot, the political ballot, there's a Jedi.
Yeah, for ethnicity, you can now put Jedi Knight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and, I mean, so this is like, this is a big thing, but when people hear the new Star Wars, the average moviegoer hears the new Star Wars movies come out, they get excited, but they get excited the way they get excited when any summer blockbuster comes out. If it comes out at the end of the year, I'm thinking people will take it a little bit more serious.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why it wasn't released in November. Like in the past, we've had other huge films like the Twilight movies or Harry Potter.
I think that Thanksgiving would have been a better weekend for it to be released, but when you're really thinking about it, the movies that get released on Thanksgiving start to get lost, and it's movies in December. And then you're thinking, well, what about December 25th? But they keep that for the Spielberg movies and for the, you know, the big name directors. So by having it come out before that, but not too far before it, I think you're going to keep that kind of attention. I think they know they already have the fan base. I think that no matter when it gets released, the fans are going to go see it.
Wow, this is a whole new point of view that I hadn't thought of, and I hadn't seen anyone else come up with this.
When you first heard about it coming out in December, your first reaction is, oh my God, it's got to come out in May, it's got to come out in May, it's got to come out in May. And then you kind of start only thinking that way.
I would love it if the sequels came out in May, but the standalone films came out in December. I'd be on board with that.
Right. Well, you know, to me, I actually think, no offense, but I think it's kind of silly to worry about when it comes out. What you need to worry about is it a good movie? And if it comes out in May and it's a mediocre movie, who cares? But if it comes out in December but it's a great movie, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from the whole point of view, not just the movie, but as an experience.
You know what? But the fans make the experience, I think. So whenever the movie does come out, then I mean, that's your experience. The fan will be there. We'll be dressed up. I don't care if we're really busy.
Yeah, but if it's
we'll
in the,
time.
If it's in December, you're going to get all the holiday parties and family gatherings all mixed in with that.
Honestly, if there is scenes in the movie that happen during winter time, it'll feel that much more wintry and, and fun. Like Little Women came out in winter. And yeah, not all that movie is during Christmas time, but the two scenes that are in Christmas time, it just elevates them.
Well, that's very true. Yeah. That really made that I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
I agree with Joe because the fact of the matter is if it's a great movie, when it comes out is irrelevant. The fans are still going to make it a great movie. They're still going to dress up. They're still going to wait weeks in line beforehand. Who knows? Maybe Black Friday will all of a sudden people will be lining up at the stores. That'll be the day they line up for their Star Wars tickets. It's not about the date that it comes out. It's about the experience. And the only movies that really should come out at certain times are like Christmas movies need to come out at Christmas time.
Yes.
Easter movies need to come out at Easter time. Otherwise, you know, it kind of kills the spirit of it. But Star Wars, you know, it seems like it could come out at any time if it's a great movie. Are you going to like it less because it came out? Do you really think the experience is going to be less than if it comes out later? In reality, if they waited till May, you'd have to wait until 2016.
Now, for us, December is our busiest time work-wise.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really hard to juggle all the holiday activity work.
Now.
Yeah.
And
it's not about it not coming out in May. It's about Richard's busy schedule.
Yeah.
That's like the number one busiest time of year for us.
I mean, most people have their holidays to worry about, when they're going to go see their family, when they're going to leave, travel time. And then to throw Star Wars into the mix, I think it's going to throw everyone's holiday schedule off.
First of all, anybody who goes and sees this is going to go see it opening weekend, the Die Hards. And let's face it, that's 10 days before Christmas, so they can still schedule around it. Second of all, they can go see their families, and then they can take their families to experience
it.
It can become a whole thing. I think that there's a lot of reasons here that the only thing that should be in consideration is, do we get a great movie? And when it gets released just seems like a very irrelevant thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is Christmas Day is the busiest day in movie theater history. I managed movie theaters for like 7 years, so maybe longer. I think it might have been longer. And Christmas Day is the busiest day of the year because you have all the people who get kicked out of the house while the food's being cooked, and you got all the Jewish people who don't really have anything to do. I can say that I'm Jewish, and that's what we used to do, is we had nothing to do on Christmas. Everything was closed, so we would go to the movies. And Thanksgiving, you don't really have that kind of crowd, so it's only a smaller crowd. So they might be relying on, hey, for the Christmas week, you know, that's the busiest movie theater week. And let's face it, what are we going to be competing with? We're going to kick their butts. Everybody's going to go to Star Wars. We're going to open it up in 5 theaters in each movie theater, and they're going to be selling out big time. So they could be thinking of that as well.
There's so
many reasons to open a movie in December, but I have a feeling they're going for awards. That's my feeling. I don't know if it's true or not.
All right, well, I'm going to wrap this up by saying that you're wrong. Star Wars should be released in May.
I've been right about other things in this situation, so we'll see.
All right, well, you know what?
Mark.
Time will tell. We'll meet again December 2015. Thank you once again for joining us on Skywalking Through Neverland.
Not a problem. Anytime you want me, I'm here.
Hey, Skywalkers. This is Randy Crane, host of the Stories of the Magic podcast and author of the books Once Upon Your Time and Faith in the Magic Kingdom. Just had to call in and say congratulations to Richard and Sarah on 2 years with Skywalking Through Neverland. Gotta say, that is an accomplishment. I've been going for quite a while on Stories of the Magic, and I know that it takes quite a bit of a labor of love to get these things done and posted, and you guys do a great job with it. So you'd asked for a favorite memory or a favorite segment or something like that for the show. And I've actually had a lot that I really enjoyed. Obviously, I really enjoyed the D23 Expo coverage from this year, not the least of which was the roundtable part that I got to be a part of. That was really a lot of fun. I'd never done a roundtable discussion like that before, or a post-Expo debrief before. And so getting to do both of those with you guys was a lot of fun. I actually found the show when I was looking for interviews with Margaret Carey before I was going to interview her for my show. And so I listened to what you had done up to that point with her, and of course you've done quite a bit more since, and that was the point where I got hooked, and so I just had to keep listening. Really enjoy the interviews that you do and the perspective that you bring to Star Wars and Disney fandom and the new Steps in Time show I really have been enjoying as well. Getting to have the people you've had on to talk about the movies with you has really been fun. You guys really do a fantastic job. I'm glad to be associated with you, even just here and there. And congratulations again. Keep up the good work, and look forward to your 3-year anniversary. And by that point, you'll be at, 156 episodes? The rate my show is going, you just might have passed me a number of episodes by then. And honestly, if I'm going to be passed by somebody in the episode count, I'm just as glad it's you guys. Take care, and look forward to hearing many more shows to come.
Thanks so much to Randy, who does the Stories of the Magic podcast. Now, what's the next clip?
Well, before I tell you what the next clip is, let me set it up first.
Okay.
Now, let's go back maybe a year and a half to the day where we were at Kamikaze, and Margaret Carey sees our Skywalking Through Neverland shirts and comes running over to us.
No, yeah, she like points at your chest. Like touches it. She's like,
says, yeah, you know what? I have been working out, Miss Carey. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. And she loved our shirt. She really clung on to the Neverland
right.
of the name of the show. And since then, we've struck up an amazing friendship with her. And she even agreed to be our fairy pod mother and now has her own featured segment, Ask Tink. Well, her first interview, it was so long, we cut it into two pieces.
That's right, and we even had bonus content, too.
Yeah, so it was a two-parter because she just unleashed so many great stories about her career, working with Walt Disney.
Yeah, she's not only just Tinkerbell, but she's so many other things.
So here now is a clip from episode 15, where she talks about getting into show business. We are here at KKLA in Glendale, California, talking to the animation reference model of Tinkerbell, Miss Margaret Carey.
You got that right.
A mouthful.
Well, you know how many people, Richard, take a look and their eyebrows go up when you say, this is Tinkerbell, but you put all the right words in it. The animator's reference model. So I'm so happy to be here with you and Sarah.
Oh, thank you very much for being here on Skywalking Through Neverland. In fact, our name comes from your alter ego's birthplace, Neverland.
Isn't it marvelous? What do you think about when you first heard about a place called Neverland? What did you think?
As a child, I always thought of it as never-ending possibilities. Because Peter Pan was a little boy who never grew up.
Never grew up.
So I just had it in my mind, it's a place where there was never a never.
How about you, Sarah?
Well, I kind of grew up with the Peter Pan and all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately in my mind, I see that island of
right,
Neverland.
Right.
So that's
and
that's,
you know, if you really look at that island, there's a lot of evil on that mm-hmm. island, and
pirates.
people forget the pirates and the Skull Island or Skull whatever it is, but when you look at the overhead shot of it. I said to Mark Davis the first time I saw it, it wasn't colored in the first time that it was getting there. I said, that's scary. And he said, really? And I said, yes. He says, that's good. Okay.
Now, who was Mark Davis?
Mark Davis is the man who designed Tinkerbell. And he was my director, I tell you, and the sweetest man. Just an absolutely fabulous man.
So let's go back a couple of years from there. How did you get started in show business?
Well, I was born in 1929, and I caused the Depression. Yeah, I was born, and everything went right downhill from
Aww.
There.
Oh.
And nobody had a job. I was adopted by two people who were old enough to be my grandparents, sweet people. But my mother had a hankering to be a Hollywood mother. And this was one of the ways that...
Were you here, living here
yes,
in L.A.? Okay.
Yes. My mother couldn't go out and make money because women didn't do that. And my dad was struggling along as a salesman and a broker for some people. So she thought, I'll put this cute little thing in film. Well, fooey. I could make $8.50 a day.
Wow.
And there were some laborers that were lucky to make $2 a day. So it tells you. So in the meantime, There was a fellow named Willie Covan. So I had one of the best teachers, and I was put to work, which wasn't a bad thing. But I had nothing to really compare it to. And every time before I would leave, Willie Covan would always say, yeah, Mr. Rob, that was my new dad's name, Peggy is a dancing fool. And I knew with that big smile on his face that that was good. So I went on in show business, and I did 37 major motion pictures. I was in our gangs, I think six of them. Leonard Maltin and I can't agree. Anyway, I just kept going, but I found television. And television to me was fabulous. I really didn't like motion pictures. I really didn't, because it is so slow. Well, I found television with here at KTLA. It was W6XAO and W6XYZ, experimental television, and I went on that, and I just fell in love with it. I did the Charlie Ruggles Show for 5 years. It was one of the first network shows for the Almost Broadcast, I mean, ABC. We called it the Almost Broadcasting Company. Then I had my own show on Channel 13 for 5 years, called Teleteen Reporter, same 5 years. And then I was doing radio. And then I did special things for people like Arch Obler, the author. And from there, I worked with Tommy Noonan and Peter Marshall on a show called Let There Be Stars, which didn't sell. It was too grandiose, I think, at that moment. And the choreographer took me over to Fox to be one of his assistants. So I got the call at Fox Studio that they were interviewing for and casting for the reference model for this little 3.5-inch sprite. Could I get the day off tomorrow?
How old were you at the time?
I was 18. Isn't that interesting? Men usually say, what year was it? And women usually say, how old were you?
Yeah, men know better.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it is very interesting through the years. Anyway, I got the time off. And the night before, I choreographed a pantomime, because I knew this little character was a pantomime character. And I danced to a 3-minute 45 record, the ones with the big holes in the middle. And I took the player and the 45 with me, and I went over to Disney Studios, which was a dream of almost anybody who worked in the movie business. I mean, it was just, you just knew it was magical.
You said you got a call from Fox to do this?
From my agent.
Gotcha.
From my agent when I was at Fox.
Now, I have a question for you. When how much of Tinkerbell's attitude came from you, or was it written in the script that you're supposed to be kind of sassy?
Well, I had read the James M. Barry book. And by the way, Sarah, if you don't mind, I'm going to tell people to go to Barnes & Noble and get the unabridged James M. Barry book. You will learn more about all the characters that you love in Peter Pan than me talking or seeing the movies, all six of them that are out there now. And so I sort of knew what I was going to do with her. It had been a while since, but I remembered her as about 11 years old, and she was just enchanted with life. She was enchanted with everything that she saw that was new, and no one was going to cut down that those vibrations in her. She was going over and look. She was going to see what it was made of. If she had to take it apart, she'd take it apart. So that's the way that I played her. And I think I've done this a lot when I do speeches. By the way, if there's anybody out there who has an organization who wants a speaker, all they have to do is call Tinkerbell or get to TinkerbellTalks.com and send an email through that. Let's see. I do a lot of talking. I go to hospitals, children's hospitals. So back to what I was saying. What was I saying?
About Tinkerbell and
attitude.
Her attitude.
So the first thing that they asked me to do was to do a pantomime dropping down on the big looking glass or the mirror that was on Wendy's dresser and see herself in the reflection and then take a look at herself and be pleased and then be unhappy at the size of her hips. Yes. And so I said, sure. So that's what I did. But I must say, if any of you are watching Peter Pan, and you'd better be, because I'll check up on you. Anyway, you will notice that she is not preening. I played her as if she was seeing herself for the first time. I figured, why would they have a mirror in Neverland? So that's what she's doing. And she's almost saying out loud, oh, I'm cute. Oh, look at those wings. Oh, isn't that? Oh my. And then get upset about her hips being too large as far as she's concerned.
She really is a girl.
So when we actually got on the soundstage, and I had my hair done up by the hairdresser before I came, didn't have to wear any makeup, and came over to the set. And it was a set. They had props and things there. The first time that I stepped out in front, I said something like, Mr. Davis, do you want her to be ditzy like Betty Boo? Or do you want her to be like the Queen of the Fairies? And he said, Margaret, we want her to be you.
Oh.
And I said, golly gee, I think I can do that. And that is my personality. They had the two dimensions, the line drawing, the width and the height, and I gave the third dimension. And that's the way I try to explain it.
Oh, isn't Margaret Carey just a delight?
She's everyone's consummate grandmother.
She totally is, even in person, and just by voice alone you can tell.
I kind of get the feeling that if we called her up and said we weren't feeling well, she'd be over within minutes with a big bucket of chicken noodle soup.
Oh, yeah.
Reading
yeah.
us a story and rubbing our head.
That's right. Yeah, if you missed Margaret Carey on our show, please, please head back to episode 15 and 16, where there's just so much of her life right there. It's amazing. And she's also been on several other episodes since. In fact, I had someone on Twitter asking me, where's all the Margaret Carey episodes? So if you actually go to skywalkingthroughneverland.com and put in the search Margaret Carey, a bunch of her episodes come up.
Episodes and Ask Tink segments.
Mm-hmm. And she movie reviews.
Segments where she reviewed the Tinkerbell movies.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as our last Step in Time podcast spinoff show where we talked about The Parent Trap. Now, speaking of good friends, we've made a good friend in Wendy Cooper.
Oh, yes.
We met her during some of the Friends of the Magic meetups at Disneyland, and she sent us in a very, very nice message, too. She writes, I'm a new listener to Skywalking Through Neverland. Hold on. Gotta do it together.
Oh, okay.
I am a new listener to Skywalking Through Neverland. Sorry, we gotta do that. And my favorite episode so far was episode 88, when you interviewed Matt Cox.
Oh.
The first adult participant in Disneyland's Jedi Training Academy at Sarah and Richard's meetup for the Friends of the Magic weekend on August 8th, 2015. I had the pleasure of witnessing this wonderful event, and it was great to hear Matt's side of this great adventure. Matt is visually impaired, but that did not stop him from having more fun than the other kids. It was awesome that Richard was there to help Matt, giving him a front row seat and recording up-close video. Video that we still have to see. I think Paul Berry's son, Kelvin, had posted it on YouTube, but we'll find that later on.
Yes.
Matt also told the listeners about proposing to his girlfriend at Disneyland, a very emotional episode that I enjoyed. Oh, and I love my Skywalking Through Neverland t-shirt, too. Available at tpublic.com.
Actually, she got the one with wings, so that's available at skywalkingthroughneverland.com.
Well, I'm glad you're here to tell me these things.
Yeah, see?
Well, thank you, Wendy. That was one of our favorite episodes, too. Always great to see you at the meetups. Now, before we continue with more messages and clips from past episodes, let's take a break and tell everybody about our Trick or Treat Spooktacular Podcast Crossover Contest.
Oh, yes, because for Halloween, we always get into the entire month because we love it, and so we're doing something special.
And this year, we really put our brains to the test, and thought, we need something big. Something so big, we can't contain it in one podcast. It's got to go over 6 podcasts.
Woohoo!
I don't mean 6 episodes. I mean 6 other podcast shows.
Yay!
So what we're going to do, Sarah, you and I are going to go trick-or-treating to other podcast shows.
Oh, how fun! And what do we wear?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
You can wear Jedi Tink. You can wear Slave Leia. Whatever you want.
Can't wear pajama pants?
No. So we're going to go trick-or-treating to 5 other podcasts.
Okay.
And with each podcast, we're going to give you a hint.
We're going to give the listeners a hint.
We're going to give the listener a hint so you can put the puzzle together at the very end.
After you listen to all these podcast episodes. So basically what you're getting by listening to each of these podcast episodes is a clue at each one that you'll be able to enter this phrase into, you know, how you normally enter contests with us, which is through a rafflecopter on our website or on our Facebook page.
Right.
Yeah. And so by doing that, you'll be entered to win this awesome prize pack with Hotel Transylvania 2 stuff, maybe some skywalking buttons.
Yeah, we just went to the Hotel Transylvania 2 press conference
and
screening. They gave us a whole bunch of really fun stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to include most
really
of that.
Nice stuff.
And some other fun stuff.
Yes.
Now, I'm learning as we go along here. Now, will they go to Rafflecopter and then put in the clues?
Okay, so they're going to go to skywalkingthroughneverland.com or our Facebook page to put in these clues in our giveaway.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're still working things out right now, but when we release the first episode that gets into the contest, we'll explain everything once again.
Yes, and we'll put up a blog post, too, that explains everything as well.
Now, the other podcast, which will be trick-or-treating, will be Techno Retro Dads, Coffee with Kenobi, Muppet Cast, Assembly of Geeks, and Window to the Magic.
Perfect.
So with each of these episodes, we're going to give you a clue, and then you can enter.
Put those clues together.
And then you'll automatically be entered into the big contest, which will be announced on October 22nd at our Google Halloween Hangout.
Woohoo! It's a trick-or-treat, or it's a Halloween...
It's a Halloween party.
Costume party.
That's right.
Hangout.
So we'll, more details on that to come, but we're going to get podcasters from everywhere and people from all over the world to hang out, and then there, we will give you the winner to our trick-or-treat spectacular podcast crossover contest. Now, costumes are optional.
Now, if you can say all of that without looking at notes...
What? Trick-or-treat spectacular podcast crossover contest?
Yes. I don't
even
think
looking
I can
at
say
notes.
That. I can't say it because I'm driving and I can't look at it.
All right. Once again, all together now. Trick-or-treat.
Trick-or-treat.
Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
Podcast.
Podcast.
Crossover contest.
Crossover contest.
Booyah. We did it. All right. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. And we're going to have a whole lot of Halloween goodies for you Skywalkers as well.
Nice.
So looking forward to more Skywalking Through October episodes. Now, back to our scheduled program.
Hurry back.
So next up, we're going to hear from Trisha Barr, who sent in a very fun message.
Yeah, I think she was just finished recording with Hyperspace Theories, her podcast.
You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about their mistakes. That's not so for Trisha Barr.
For our San Diego Comic-Con special edition, we had on Sarah and Richard from Skywalking Through Neverland, and it's my understanding that they are having a very special episode coming up, their second anniversary. They wanted to know what our favorite episode was, and I get to pick. I get to pick the one that I was on, episode 60 with Mark Newbold, who is one of my favorite fans out there, and we had so much fun talking about Star Wars, Star Trek, and my number sign, which was actually, my hashtag for the year. I didn't quite get the number sign thing in the show notes. Anyway, so it was great to get to relive that memory, and if you guys listen to that episode, you can listen to my epic fail as I was doing the best record ever for a promo plug. And I whiffed it at the end, and they played at the end of that episode. So it's still a fun memory. We laughed hard. So From Hyperspace Theories, we want to all wish you a happy second anniversary.
Now, wouldn't it be really embarrassing if we actually played that clip where she mixed up the whole hashtag versus what's my number?
That'd be like so embarrassing.
It would be so embarrassing. So let's do it.
Nice.
So when I, before we recorded, I had to ask the question, what is your number? Because we get the question. So I'm going to out myself that I didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we started recording, Trisha said, what do you mean, what's my number?
Yeah. What's my number? So I was like, I'm going to have to really think of this fast. But when you said hashtag, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Tic-tac-toe board, hashtag.
Tic-tac-toe board.
Okay.
Yeah. I use hashtags a lot on Twitter just to, you know,
yes.
Say something. But Fangirl Flail is, and Teresa always jokes because she says, you know, it's really close to Fangirl Fail. So you have to make sure you get that L in there after the F.
Yes.
But Vanessa Marshall, who was, I feel like I, you know, she made part of Star Wars Weekends awesome too, was getting to meet her and get to know her. But she helped kind of kick that off. But my favorite thing, not just having people tweeted a lot. Ashley Eckstein tweets it a lot. I see a lot of other people is seeing some of my male fans tweet it too, and that it's a positive thing. So who was it? Pete Morrison from Lightsaber Rattling. There was some news that was really exciting that came out about Rebels, and he tweeted, I feel like I should fangirl flail about this, or is it appropriate that I fangirl flail? And I was like, yes, exactly. Everybody can do it. But you sort of know, right, what that means. You just... Yeah. You can see this, and that's what happened when the Force Awakens trailer popped up on my screen as I'm hitting it, trying to get it to, you know, people were saying, I see it. I'm get computer, load the thing, load it. And then it started to come on, and then, you know, your body starts shaking involuntarily and sounds come out of your mouth. That's okay. That's the fangirl flail. And so however you want to experience it too. But that for me was my that'll be my hashtag for this year because that started and it's been gaining momentum and it means the most awesome thing to me.
Hey, everybody. This is Star Wars artist Randy Martinez wishing Skywalking Through Neverland a great, great happy anniversary on their second year of podcasting. Congratulations, you guys. And I am so thankful to be part of the crew doing the classic comic interviews. So everybody, may the Fort be with you.
This is Bald Solo. My favorite memory would have to be Celebration Anaheim when you had everybody get together that podcasts or has been on the Skywalking Through Neverland podcast and talk about Force Awakens. What was really cool about that was that we kind of didn't really know anything about the movie other than what they told us at the convention. We were really flying blind, so it was a lot of fun to kind of just have a large group of people all podcasting at the same time and really just nerding out and speculating about what was going to be in The Force Awakens. So that would have to be my favorite Skywalking Through Neverland memory. It was really cool to just be able to podcast with you guys in person, and especially in a large group of people. That's my favorite memory. Well, this is Bald Solo signing off. Thanks a lot, guys, and I look forward to podcasting with you again soon.
Well, thank you guys for those great messages. And now to give you a driving report on our road trip anniversary special, We're somewhere in the desert.
We are. We're driving back to L.A. now.
I'm seeing a lot of cactuses and rocks and sand. And
yes.
It gets everywhere. Now, Sarah, on episode 46, we talked with Bubba Alvarez about the Disney jail.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is something we always thought was a myth to keep people behaving at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually a real place. And we got the inside scoop from Big Bubba. Check it out.
We got the Cops theme music ready.
Bad boys, what you gonna do?
That's a good idea.
We should a little Cops theme music with like the electrical parade going on in the background. That'd be great. Yeah.
So what kind of experience do you have with the Disney jail?
Well, I was in the Disney College program back in 2000 and 2001. My first year, I was actually construction security for Disney California Adventures while it was under construction. So we would go check in at Disneyland in our office, which was kind of behind the where the bank was, where the gallery is now. So while during our tour for the first day in security, we walked around Disneyland in the back, and he happened to show us the room, which we called Disney Jail, and we hold people in until Anaheim PD arrives for any reason, anything that you do inside the park that Disney finds illegal. A lot of people say, you know, it's got bars. It looks like how the prisoners look in Pirates of the Caribbean. There's a dog outside holding a key waiting for you to grab it. No, there's no bars. There's no, you know, skeleton key to open the door. It's actually an administrative building, which is sort of behind Space Mountain. It's there's kind of a little ad building. There was two of them, actually. There's an office behind the bank where Anaheim PD kind of has their little station, which so do we. And we hold people there sometimes depending on what they do, especially during grad night. Grad night is a real busy night where they hold them. So, like, I remember coming in one night and, you know, they were bringing, like, these three students in and they put them in the room. The room is actually there's no ceiling at all. It's just like they put these little movable walls right there.
So one good push and you're out.
Yeah, not only that, and then the door is unlocked, but it buzzes every time it's open. So if you're in the room and you want to come out, you can, but the door's going to buzz and they're just going to be right on you like white on rice. They'll be right on you checking you out.
But if there's no roof, can't you go over the door?
Yeah, it's a little bit high. I mean, they don't want to, like, enclose you or trap you or anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, they can't climb the wall or anything like that. So, you know, they keep people there until – and they can actually interrogate you, too, you know, depending on what's going on. Of course, you can – by law, they have to – if you say, you know, wait for a lawyer, you know, yada, yada, yada. Then if so, sometimes if you do talk to them, they'll actually let you go depending on what you did. But – depending on the severity of the crime, they would have to call the Anaheim PD for certain things to come pick you up.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm wondering, what gets you put in Disney jail?
Oh, stealing. You know, there's sometimes people have been in there for drug use in the park that I've heard that they let go. You know, they just tell them you can't come in for the rest of the day. Sometimes they'll might even ban you. I haven't heard of anybody being banned. They've told me people have been banned, but in my personal, life, I haven't heard of anybody else getting banned. You know, just doing stupid stuff. So here was one of my experiences. As I was walking, I checked in over my station. I had to walk across the Esplanade by the harbor side of where you get dropped off. This was back in 2000. And one of the tram buses was coming in, and all of a sudden we're looking over, and we see a woman just get pushed off out of the door out of one of the buses.
Uh-oh.
And so we're like, yeah. And she pushed off, fell on her back, hard on the cement. So we look over and I'm like, did you see that? And like, yeah. So we go over and here comes this man coming out of the bus and he starts slapping her on the ground.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And I'm like,
at
oh
the
my
happiest
God.
Place on earth?
Exactly. I'm like, you're not even in the park yet. So, you know, we're running over there and we hear like the people, you know, screaming like, get off her. Some guy's trying to pull off of her. And then here comes like three or four of us. And we have our construction vests on because we have to wear construction vests and hard hats when we're in construction area. And we're just running over there and we grab the guy. And this is like the saddest thing in the world. As we grab the guy and, you know, we all start taking him in. The wife is screaming at us saying, no, it was my fault. It was my fault. And I'm like, oh my gosh, lady, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And, you know, it's just, no, it's my fault. But we're just like, no, we're taking him in. And so we actually had to take him over through the tunnels down into the holding area where I know definitely Anaheim PD took him in. And luckily there was one Anaheim PD officer that was there around that area at the time, which he helped us, you know, put the handcuffs on and he took them in as we followed so we could give him our report of what we saw. And they put him in the holding cell and, you know, it was just sad. I just couldn't believe that. I mean, right when you guys were coming to the park, this happens. Wow.
Now, are these handcuffs like Mickey hands?
That would be such an awesome thing. No, when the Anaheim PD, we didn't have any handcuffs on us. I've heard that, you know, the people that wear the, plainclothes officers in the park, they do have them. But I know, like, the regular, every Disneyland security that you see in outfit doesn't carry, you know, like a baton or a gun,
taser,
or anything, pepper spray. And they don't carry anything like
nunchucks.
That. But yeah. So, when we bring them into the holding cell, like I said, you can interrogate them. Disney can, you know, talk to people about, you know, what's going on. Why'd you do this? What'd you take? Until Anaheim PD gets there. Most of the time, though, I mean, I remember that day that guy was taken to jail. And, the wife went with him with another officer. But there was, they're very great at, you know, protecting, making sure everybody is safe at Disneyland, which is great.
Hello, this is Rob Dellinger, the official composer for Skywalking Through Neverland, and I think I have a few memories that come to mind I'd like to share on the 2-year anniversary of the show. And one thing is I enjoyed listening to Margaret Carey, the Tinkerbell reference model from the original Walt Disney's Peter Pan, agree to sprinkle pixie dust on my recording studio. That's pretty awesome. Some other favorite moments were hearing people like Stephen Stanton and David Collins and James Caan and Mark Dodson give on-air reactions to music I had written. That definitely was a highlight for me. But probably my favorite moment was when a listener sent in a personalized jingle for me. That was pretty exciting. As far as my favorite jingle I've written for the podcast, I really can't say because I have so many favorites, but one that always sticks out to me is the Skywalker Shoutouts jingle, which is based on the Yub Nub song from the original Return of the Jedi pre-special edition.
Shoutouts, Skywalker Shoutouts.
Have a good one, and I look forward to lots of more memories with Skywalking Through Neverland.
And now, it's time for Skywalking Through Neverland Family Theater with my parents, Peter and Norma Heitman.
Hey, Peter, can you believe we've listened to just about every episode of Skywalking Through Neverland since September 2013?
Wow, 2 full years already. Hard to believe. But, dear, first of all, I like the fact that our daughter is the co-host of the show. We raised her well, provided the resources for a great education, and expected her to share her wit, talent, and enthusiasm with the world. What better way than skywalking through Neverland?
Really? Wow, you mean, even though they've had all those fabulous topics about origami, Comic-Con, the R2-D2 construction, and Margaret Carey, ooh, D23, and Ranch Obi-Wan, that was a great one, the countdown to The Force Awakens, that was exciting to listen to that every show. You weren't paying attention. You're just a proud father.
Well, yes, I have to admit that. I was really impressed with the sound quality of this podcast. After all, I am the technical advisor.
Yes, Sarah does a great job with graphic arts, website design, social media, and choice of husband.
Ooh. Choice of husband? Why are we changing this subject?
You have to admit, Peter, Richard is the creator, director, and producer of most of the shows. He's creative, he's energetic, fun to listen to. Not a boring moment anytime I've heard those podcasts. Best podcast I've ever listened to.
I have to agree. The combination of their talents, the natural chemistry and mutual respect they have for each other peppers every episode. Makes for a great family podcast.
So true, Peter. But you know what is the best thing about the podcast from my perspective?
No. Well, what's that?
He calls her his sweetie wife.
Hey there, Skywalking Through Neverland. This is Dave Parfit from AdventuresByDaddy.com, and I just wanted to say congratulations on your second anniversary. Listening to your shows over the past 2 years, it's been great getting to know both of you guys, becoming friends, and I have to say, listening to your segment with Paul Barry on the Disneyland 60th Anniversary Paint the Night Parade just made me feel like I was right there. Looking forward to listening to a lot more shows, going to a lot more events, and can't wait for your take on Star Wars The Force Awakens. Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow. All right.
One of the highlights of Star Wars Weekends in 2014 was meeting Jedi Schwa, one half of the Techno Retro Dads. Well, we had both halves of the Techno Retro Dads, which included Schwa and Shazbazar, when we talked about the much-rumored Star Wars Land on episode 38.
That was a really fun episode. I loved that, just being creative and what could happen in Star Wars land.
The possibilities were endless. Now, let's move forward. Of course, Disney's going to want to focus on episode 7 for their Star Wars land. But which aspect of the last 6 films do you guys want to see in Star Wars land? Now, feel free to throw in the Star Wars holiday special as well.
What about Clone Wars?
And Clone Wars, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Now, do you mean rides themselves or just anything
just
in the
out
area?
The box. Out yeah, of the box, just anything.
What restaurants, rides, right. Attractions, shows. What's one thing that
bars.
Once you see this, it's like, okay, my experience is complete.
Okay. All right. See, I asked my family about this. They had some good answers too. Well definitely a cantina.
Okay. Yes.
Cantina, oh, you gotta right. Have a cantina.
That would yeah. Be my number one as well.
And then one of my daughters said Yoda's house would be kind of fun to see.
Oh, that's cute.
I'm not sure what it would be. You'd have to duck to get in, so I don't know.
Well, see, I think the kids would like that. They could have a Star Wars Kids Land.
Oh, there
they
you
have to.
They have to. And then they can have like the tree houses with the Ewoks homes, and then mm-hmm. They can have Yoda's home down below. Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing.
Ewoks were a must with my family, and I would like to see the Death Star. And then they'd also like to see, like I was kind of saying with the Toy Story, like kind of an interactive 3D kind of Toy Story ride.
Hmm. So what would you be shooting at? Yeah. Stormtroopers?
Oh, geez, you'd do just about anything.
You could pick your side, you know?
Oh, there you go.
It'd be Imperial or Ewok, you know, or you know, Imperial or Rebel.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. You could. Oh, my goodness. And then you'd get like either red or blue like shooters or something. And you'd,
right.
And you'd shoot the opposite color. Wow. Yes. That would be cool.
Well, Shaz, what about you? What do you want to see?
Sondan's Trading Depot on Kashyyyk.
See, now we're getting somewhere.
Complete with Art Carney.
nice.
The thing I've been dreaming of, and it could be done, it would be difficult, would be the trench run. And you choose your side for that. And going through the line, you're drafted as a recruit for the rebellion or a cadet for the Empire, and you're going to be in a TIE fighter or in an X-wing, and there will be two tracks. And one track will be the X-wings, and they go over the surface, and then they take the they go in the trench run, and then the TIE fighters are coming in behind them on another track. You know, you could live the experience.
Whoa.
You know,
that would be really fun.
That would be cool.
So yeah. You've got practical, but it tells the story.
Wow. Right.
And you could have a great queue going through there. You know, they could move it through in groups so that they could talk to you about what you're doing and everything. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And you could see little tidbits of the movie. You know, wow. You see Luke and Biggs talking to each other over in the corner, you know, and you're just kind of there.
Boy, talk about putting yourself into the Star Wars universe. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah.
Okay, air high five.
Now, Richard, you're always talking about speeder bikes.
Yeah, well, I love me some speeder bikes, but I think if I wanted to see, or I needed to see one aspect, mm-hmm. It would be the cantina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because as a kid, that's the scene I always played the most, the cantina. Going into this restaurant and having and seeing all these aliens everywhere, just as the patrons as well as the servers, as if you just walked into the Mos Eisley cantina.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be really – and you know, every once in a while – there'd be a Rodian fight in the corner someone would be getting their arm cut off. You know, how many times a day can Walrus Man get his arm cut off?
I guess we'll find out.
Well, I guess he's got two arms, so.
You know, it depends. If it's the new set, he's got four, you know, different hands for each one.
There you go. He's got a flipper on one and a furred hand on the other one.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the cantina band is playing, and every once in a while a little fight would break out. I would be there all day long.
You would.
I say, guys, just give me a broom. I'll clean up.
Now for me, I know we're going around the circle, and I was just thinking here, while I'd love to see the cantina, something on my list, maybe third on my list, would really be, well, when I went to see New Fantasyland, I had to meet Gaston. Because that was just really fun.
No one wants to hear about this, okay?
And so...
He's especially good at expectorating.
Oh, what a guy, that Gaston. Now, what I would love to see is a meet and greet with Han Solo. Because they've never had that at the parks, even in Star Wars weekends.
Yeah, what was up with that?
And I think that would be fun, because he'd be that same kind of brash sense of humor. And I just think they just can't find anyone who's going to embody that Harrison Ford character enough.
Right, because you know everyone would be criticizing.
Yeah, it's true. But I think that would be super fun if they did like a meet and greet with Han, and yeah.
All right, enough flirting with Gaston. You can flirt with Han Solo.
Okay, good to know.
All right. So now let's hear again from Jedi Schwa's kids about what they want to see from Star Wars at the Disney parks.
If Disney were to make a ride that was real people mixed up with, say, a 3D movie, a virtual ride. What part of Star Wars would you like to see, Ayla?
The Ewok village, like inside the Ewok houses, like your ship like broke into all the Ewok houses.
Like a scout walker or a speeder bike, or what kind of ship are you thinking of?
I don't know.
You don't know, just anything, huh?
Yeah.
Could be anything. Okay. Ariana, what would you like to see?
Well, you, the pod race, and then you would get to pick your pod racer thing, and then be like, one person per pod race. And then, before you start, little people are like fixing your pod race, and then you just zoom off, and then at the end, like the finish line, like all the Star Wars people are cheering for you.
Oh, so the actors would be like at the beginning preparing your pod racer, and then at the end they're cheering for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and maybe helping you off the ride. All right, and Ayla, what actors would be in your Ewok village?
Ewoks.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thanks, girls.
We've been calling it Star Wars Land, but if the two of you had to name it, what would be your name for Star Wars, for Disney's Star Wars Land? Jedi Schwa, what do you think?
Gosh, that's tricky. I don't like Star Wars Land.
No.
Yeah, it's a little kitschy.
It just doesn't.
It's like Cars Land. It's too cartoony.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. I mean, I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't really seem to me like it fits in with a land at a Disney park. You know, those are bigger areas with variety of things. So I don't know. Maybe just the Star Wars galaxy or something. It's tricky because there's so many different places, so many different planets and areas. So
right, like you can't pick a planet.
Yeah,
to call
I don't
it.
Have an answer for this myself.
Yeah,
and I've been running through so many ideas, but for marketing purposes, it would need to say Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, maybe you go with like a Jimi Hendrix idea. Let's just call it the Star Wars Experience or something.
Interesting. What do you think, Shaz?
Well, Star Wars Galaxy is good. I was just trying to think of the galaxy far, far away, and
But see, if it does have to say land like everything else says land, I was thinking far, far away land. But see, that sounds too fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, wait, no. Star Wars Galaxy would be good.
I think I've got it. I think I've got I know what it's going to be called.
Okay.
It's My New Home.
Yep.
We'll call it The Place to Go in Debt.
I'll get a job there. I can be the guy that starts the fight at the cantina.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, I'm really stuck on this one because it would have to be called Star Wars Land just because it fits in with Frontierland, Adventureland, Tomorrowland.
All right. Tomorrowland with Star Wars or something, but that sounds stupid too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's really tough.
Disney presents 20th Century Fox's Star Wars, which is now Disney-owned land. I don't know.
I think that's not going to be.
You know what?
It.
Let's put this out to the listeners. Oh. If any of the listeners out there have an idea of what to call this new proposed Star Wars land, let us know because we have no idea.
Yep.
We don't have any ideas on this.
Tweet at us at Skywalking Pod and at Techno Retro Dads.
All right, guys. So why don't we wrap this up by telling everyone where we can get a hold of you?
Well, you know, you can find our show on iTunes, Techno Retro Dads, and Tron Decoding the Grid, or you can also get to it from the Shot Glass Digital Network, shotglassdigital.com. Our Facebook page, right?
Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. You're having a contest right now, right?
That's right. Yes. Yes, I'm going to draw some names out of the reviews from iTunes, and the name that's picked, I'll draw a personalized caricature for that listener.
Oh, and your caricatures are awesome.
Yeah, we were lucky enough when we were on your show that you drew caricatures of us, and they were just so good.
Yeah.
Just so, so good. And I want to tell all the Skywalkers out there that I listen to about 10 podcasts a week, and Techno Retro Dads is one of my musts. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are right here, but when I first heard the first show that I listened to that I caught on to with Gil Gerard, bam, I was right there with you. But then every single week, you hit me with something personal. Like 2 weeks ago, you had a very rare Monkees song connected with me. And then you had all that talk about 4th of July and lighting off punks and fireworks and firecrackers. And once again, bam, it just connected with me. So I really love listening to your show because there's always something I will connect with personally.
Well, that's what we love to do. We love talking about all that stuff because that's what we were doing before we started recording it. So
right.
We just decided to let everybody hear it.
Nice. You know,
the strange thing is all these things connect with the next generation too. That's what's so awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. And once again, I'm not just saying that because you're on the show because if I didn't mean it, I would have just said, all right, bye, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Richard. So I couldn't endorse Techno Retro Dads more.
Yay. Well, thank you so much.
So, guys, once again, Jedi Schwa and Shaz Bazaar, thank you very much for talking about theme parks and where they're going in the future.
Thanks for having us, and keep skywalking and never land on Alderaan. By your command,
so that was such a fun conversation, and we had lots of fun doing that blue sky thing where we just, you know, thought up the cool rides we could have.
You know what? And I'm surprised we never thought about the whole integration thing, like Harry Potter, the whole being immersed in that world, that just went right over our heads. So if you want to catch more of that conversation, listen to episode 38 that was posted back in June of 2014.
Wow.
Now let's read a message from Darth Taxis, who we finally met at Celebration Anaheim. Now, Darth Taxis wrote in and said, Rich and Sarah, my favorite moment was getting to watch the magic happen at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim this year. My joy at seeing the live show was compounded, that was an accounting term, by the professionalism and the execution. Additionally, it was wonderful to meet so many other Skywalkers, including, but not limited to, well, he really is an accountant, Anthony, Kevin, Donald, Jeff, Bryn, and of course, Rob Dellinger. Every time I plug in my phone, I am reminded of how you have contributed so much to the Star Wars et al. Fandom. When my jingle kicks in. Oh, he's using his jingle for a ringtone. Nice. Thank you so much for the fun. I know you both work really hard at entertaining us weekly, and it is greatly appreciated. Congratulations on all your great success.
May all your penalties and interest be abated. Signed, Darth Taxes, CPA.
I wish that really was true.
So if we ever get audited, can we show them that?
Yes.
Nice.
Maybe we'll have to ask Darth Taxes.
So, thank you, Darth Taxes, in advance. Now, what is a June episode of Skywalking Through Neverland without a wedding episode?
I don't know.
On episode 36, we spoke with Rancho Obi-Wan PR director and big-time Star Wars fan herself, Kinsetta Parker, about her wedding with the trooper of her dreams.
Aww.
Hey, hey, Kinsetta.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are doing very, very well, having so much fun with the podcast and just getting to talk to people like you and like people from all over the world.
Yeah.
Just been a blast.
The wonders of technology.
Yes.
It's, yeah, huge difference from growing up in the 70s to what it is now. It's awesome.
Skype is amazing.
I know.
You didn't have Skype in the 70s?
No, but I had Pong.
Yeah.
Which at the time... was the equivalent of Skype for us anyway. It was, yeah. Oh, memories.
I grew up in the 80s, so I had Nintendo.
Oh, there you, all right.
So when we were coming up with this episode, once again, we knew that we had to talk to you because you had the ultimate Star Wars wedding. So when we saw you also in Star Wars Insider and TLC's Wild Weddings, we knew we had to talk to you. So let's go back to the beginning. How did you and Garrett meet?
I met my stormtrooper. Star Wars has just been like a running theme for so many of us, you know, for me and people all over the world throughout my life. And it, you know, through my work, I ended up at Skywalker Ranch working for the Revenge of the Sith press junket.
Nice. Aww.
Dream come true. I mean, it was one of those cases where somebody else got sick and somebody thought of me as a publicist because they knew I liked Star Wars. And I got a call on a Friday and said, hey, you know, I was living and working in LA, as a studio publicist. And they're like, hey, can you come up to San Rafael and maybe work the press junket for Revenge of the Sith? I was like, yes, I'm on my own way. And then Monday I was there.
Wow.
So that in and of itself was a dream come true for me. And huge. And I called my parents because at the time they were really the only ones that understood what that meant to me. And little did I know that actually that Wednesday, another person got sick that was supposed to be working at the main house at Skywalker Ranch. And because I was going to be on in a different location, and I got called and placed to work with the national TV press on the back porch of the main house at Skywalker Ranch. So again, I'm doing, you know, just jumping up and down, so excited, trying to maintain, be professional. And I heard on the walkie-talkies, you know, like, does anybody want a stormtrooper or Chewbacca for B-roll? And I'm like, yes, can you please send Chewbacca and a stormtrooper for B-roll to the back porch? The station that I was working with at the time, they were like, no, we don't really need that. I'm like, oh, but you never know. You may actually, you know, want something, you know, to use later on. So I actually pushed for it. And at 9 o'clock that morning, a stormtrooper walked onto the back porch with his bucket under his arm, which normally he's never has buckets off. But that morning he said something told him to do so. So when he walked up in full armor with his bucket under his arm, I saw Han Solo. And my heart just skipped a beat. And at the time, it never even registered with us that we met. That Wednesday morning was May 4th,
wow.
2005.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's how it all began. And of course, I'm completely got pulled out of work mode and stammered, and the first thing I said to him was, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, so lame, stupid. He's gonna think, but that's how it all started. And then by that evening we were sitting at the Stag Theater there in the tech building at Skywalker Ranch watching Revenge of the Sith together. And when the opening crawl started up, he reached over and took my hand, and I knew that instant that I was going to marry this boy, because all I ever wanted was to find a boy that loved Star Wars as much as me.
Oh,
and I found him. Yeah.
There was that instant connection then.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All these people all got sick to lead up to this very moment.
Yeah.
I know, and I feel bad being glad, but at the same time, I was like, the forces, you know, the force came together, and because he actually had missed the call. He didn't find out till the night before that he was going to get to go. He had originally missed the call, and as I'm sure you know, once when you get a call from Lucasfilm through the 501st that they need troopers, everybody wants to go. Mm-hmm. But since it was a weekday, it was hard to find somebody that could take off work. So he lucked out that the position was still open by the time he called late that night before, and they were like, "Oh yeah, yeah, we can still use you." So
wow,
yeah, he almost missed it too. And then he was so nervous about being late, he arrived early, and there were three troopers there that day, and he was the first one in armor. So I was the first media publicist person to call and request a stormtrooper, and he was the only one available. So it's like cosmically everything just came together, and it was meant to be. And I pinch myself every day, and never want to take for granted how fortunate, you know, we both are that everything aligned and it happened, and we're so happy.
All your midichlorians were all aligned.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy when we really, you know, we still talk about it together and just, you know, to remind ourselves, it was like, wow. I mean, there were so many things that had to happen for that moment to happen, and it did. Aww. And it was just phenomenal. Magical. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. How long was it until you got engaged?
We got engaged. We met on May 4th, 2005, and we got engaged on May 4th, 2006. And he surprised me. It was that morning, and I had quit my job in LA and moved up here to Northern California by then to live with him. And he was supposed to be going to work. And he goes, you know, can you meet me outside on our back porch of our home? And I didn't even realize what time it was. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, which was exactly the time that we had met the year before. And I went and stood out there waiting, and I hear armor walking, and I looked, and he, you know, got in full stormtrooper armor and walked around the side of the house and had a little piece of carpet down and got down on one knee so he didn't scratch his armor on the concrete.
Very practical.
Yes. I like him. He's always thinking.
Yeah. And we got, and my ring, my engagement ring was, oh, I can't remember who it was that produced it. You know, those great big giant rings. It was a silver stormtrooper head.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it was like 17 sizes too big, but I didn't care. It was like, you know, just like high school, I'll wrap it in yarn, you know, $50 and
it'll fit.
Honey,
it'll
fit. I promise I'll gain weight to fit this.
Yes.
Well, let's spring ahead to when and where did you get married?
Well, when we started thinking about getting married, and it was one of those, there was no question, like we knew we wanted to have a Star Wars wedding, and I'm like, I don't even know where to start. And we knew when we looked at the calendar, we wanted to get married on May 4th, 2008. And it actually landed on a Sunday. I'm like, okay, it's on a weekend. It's not going to land on a weekend for a while. So we sat one night and it was like, why don't you know, maybe we can find a wedding planner. And we literally like Googled just a couple of local wedding planners. And the first one we called was a woman named Wendy Whitman, who's fabulous. But we called her, excuse me. And, you know, Garrett said, hi, you know, I'm just calling around because my fiance and I are thinking about a Star Wars wedding. And she goes, are you kidding me? And she said it like real mean.
Ooh.
Click. And I was like, oh, and he goes, no, why are you? And then she goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. This isn't a prank call. And we said, no. She's like, oh my gosh, please don't think I'm horrible. She said, my husband used to work at Lucasfilm, and sometimes and they know I'm a wedding planner, and sometimes our friends will call and prank her. Oh, and get her all worked up and excited about a Star Wars wedding. And then they go, oh, we're just kidding you. And she was getting mad about it.
That's not funny.
So we had actually called and then she got so excited. You know, she was like, oh my gosh, I finally get to do a Star Wars wedding. This is going to be awesome. And it was really because of her and her husband, Gordon, who they, you know, we got together to brainstorm and about locations. And he goes, you know, there was this great place, you know, where, up in San Rafael, where they used to do all the special effects, and the George Lucas Theater is there. It's where George watched the dailies. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called Kerner Optical. And we're like, yeah. And Wendy's like, oh, yeah, it's in an industrial area. But as a Star Wars fan, and we both instantly were like, yes, that's where we want to get married, without even seeing it. And so they made the call, and the manager there at the time did not believe them when they called and said, we have a couple interested in getting married there. They're like, why would anybody want to get married here? It's, you know, it's just, it's in an old industrial complex, blah, blah, blah. But we finally convinced them to let us all come and meet. And it was, going to Skywalker Ranch, then meeting a stormtrooper, getting engaged to a stormtrooper, finding a wedding planner whose husband used to work at Lucasfilm, and they had all these connections and ideas about Star Wars. And he's like, I'll write your vows in Star Wars theme. And then going to Kerner Optical and them saying, oh, okay, we've never had anything like this here, but if you guys really want to get married here, okay. And walking into the George Lucas Theater, where George watched the dailies, the seats all worn out because he always sat in the same seat. And we actually reserved that seat so nobody would sit in it during the actual wedding. And then right next door was the one of the sound stages where they filmed a lot of the special effects. So when you see images, you know, it's like, oh, here's so-and-so, you know, model making, the model department and everything, you know, with the AT-ATs or, you know, Star Destroyer. I'm like, that a lot of that's at Kerner Optical, and that's where we got married. It was just, and people that worked there that had been with Industrial Light and Magic and Lucasfilm and Kerner Optical from the beginning, that they're like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll help do something. Like, everybody came out of the woodwork, and we got to touch one of the original cameras that was used in filming The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
one of the lighting guys that made some awesome BOGO lights for us to illuminate and project during the wedding reception in the sound stage. We had Darth Vader marry us. The sound guys at Kerner helped, you know, create the effects so that it actually sounded like Darth Vader. We had the Golden Gate Garrison of the 501st Legion. We had over 30 people in costume. We were in costume. And everything was, we had a Star Destroyer wedding cake. We actually found a person that makes cakes that's a huge sci-fi person. And came to our house to prove to us that she could create a Star Destroyer wedding cake.
What did she do exactly?
She had all the sketches. She explained how she could do it. She's a huge Battlestar Galactica fan, which we are too. So she wore her old Starbuck costume, like vintage. You know, she's like, I want you to know that I'm with you on this. I will work with you on this. And her husband actually made Imperial officer costumes to wear at the wedding while they served cake.
Oh,
I mean, like, everybody that we met just got so excited and really helped bring the whole thing together, that it was a dream come true wedding. Wow. It really was.
Just to get hardcore, was it the Avenger or the Devastator Star Destroyer?
No, it was the I would say it's closer to the Avenger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big cake.
I got pictures. We still have it. because the top of it lifted out, and then she filled the top in, and it, you know, like, preserved the fondant, and it's shellacked, and it still lights up.
It lit up?
Oh yeah, the whole back lit up.
Oh my god.
It looked like it was amazing.
Wow. So, just to be clear here, you got married on the same spot as the Battle of Hoth.
Yes. Yeah. And they were filming Indiana Jones
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull
while we were planning the wedding.
Wow.
So we were invited a couple times to go to one of the other sound stages they were using while they were filming some of the special effects. Wow. And I would just cry.
Wow.
Yeah. Sarah and I were just there at Kerner Optical. Unfortunately, the building is now closed, but we were in arm's reach of where they shot all these big epic scenes from The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
So just being in there yourself, it must have been just like being at the motherland.
During the reception, when we were all on the soundstage and we gave our, you know, the toasts and everything, and we made sure to tell everyone, it's like, before you leave, reach down and put your hand on the floor. Because there's been so much movie making history that has happened here.
Wow.
There are three sound stages there, and we had the largest one that was right next to the George Lucas Theater. So people could literally just walk down the steps of the theater, out a door, and right into the soundstage.
Nice.
And then because it is a soundstage, they have the giant sliding doors so that they, you know, like big garage doors that they can pull sideways to move props in and out. And that's how we made our entrance into the reception.
Nice.
Was they, you know, queued up the music and they had the guys pull it open, and then Vader and, you know, our stormtroopers let us in, and then we had like a grand entrance.
What
like,
music?
Like Jabba's palace door.
Open. Nice. Yeah. What music did you walk into?
We had the fanfare from the end of A New Hope we used right after we were married officially. And, you know, so when we exited and then when we came in, we had opening credits just like, so, cause we were in the George Lucas Theater. So we had the theater screen and it's like, we have to be able to incorporate this somehow. So we actually have our own opening crawl for Star Wars episode 2008 and Imperial Love. And you have the scroll, you have the fanfare. And then, after we got married, lights are dimmed, and we did the end credits, where we listed all of our groomsmen. I had Bushmen, because I was dressed as Leia Bush, so all of my clones were, I called them my Bushmen. And then for the cast, we listed everybody that was in attendance at the wedding, so everybody got to see their name on the screen.
Yeah. Did your husband dress up as the stormtrooper?
Yes.
Nice.
And my dad, who always kind of, he's got the dark hair and the beard. And so I was like, Dad, how about you wear a flannel shirt and jeans? So he did the George Lucas thing and was totally giddy and happy about it. He couldn't decide whether he wanted to wear a red flannel shirt or blue flannel. I was like, Dad, it's totally up to you. You can wear whatever you want. Just be comfortable, you know.
And Daddy, every 5 minutes, you got to yell out faster, more intense.
Yes. So he walked me down the theater steps and, to Leia's theme.
Oh,
I always knew that's when I was a little girl. I'm like, I don't want the regular wedding march. I want to walk to my boy, with Princess Leia's theme.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know I walked down to Across the Stars. I had to have something
beautiful.
Different too.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did your guests dress up or cosplay at all?
Some of them did. Yeah. We had the wedding invite actually looked like a movie ticket.
Nice.
And so it was, what do we say? The dress was stormtrooper chic. Is what they had on the thing. And it basically, you know, it's like galactic drinks and dancing, reception, following the ceremony. And, you know, people are welcome to dress up if they want. So we had people that kind of created their own sci-fi costumes.
Oh, cool.
Which was great. Yeah, it really was. It was fun.
They like became their own characters for the wedding.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you got married as Bush?
Bush. Yes.
Okay. But then later on, you got into the Stormtrooper chic wedding dress.
Yes, I actually, I was not going to get a traditional dress. And my parents, especially my mom, you know, she was like, oh, I think you'll regret it if you don't. She's like, you can wear whatever you want. And plus, I knew I didn't want to stay in my armor the whole time.
Right.
So I was trying to think about what to do. And I said, you know what? Maybe that would be a nice to surprise Garrett. And, for the reception to, you know, to kind of disappear, change. And then him and I have a private moment where he sees me actually as his bride. So I found a dress that was very similar to the prom dress that my mom wore like back in 1960.
Aww.
So it was for my mom and for him. And it was a nice moment and surprise. And I was super glad that I did it. And I had the heels at first, but then I got white the like my biker scout boots to wit that I changed out of. So I had my white boots then on because it was a T-length dress.
So did you already have the boosh costume or did you have it made for the wedding?
I already had it and I always, that was one costume that I always wanted, even when I was little.
Yeah, we saw some of your pictures and they just looked so great with him as the stormtrooper and you as Boosh without the helmets and you two just looked so happy.
Oh, thank you.
What was the most memorable part of the whole day?
Walking towards Garrett, with my dad and walking towards him, I didn't see or anybody else. You know, I watched the video. I'm like, I don't remember that at all. Cause I locked eyes with him and walking towards him. And it was like, this is a dream come true. And that is probably one of my fondest memories from that. That and my dad's toast and my parents dancing together.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. where did you guys go on your honeymoon?
We got to go to a special location that unfortunately I cannot share.
Yep.
Whoa.
But where is that?
Phenomenal. Yes.
Really?
Yes. We were very, very, very fortunate. Yes.
Does it rhyme with Skywalker Ranch?
I don't know. And we've been lucky that we've gotten to go back to Skywalker Ranch for work and events. And then also, multiple times. And that's another thing. I'm like, we were so fortunate that we met there and we've also been able to go back. And the staff and everybody that has been there, they're like, oh, it's the couple that met here. And like they know who we are. And yeah, so it is. And it's such a magical, I know I keep saying that word, but it just is.
Now, if any of these Skywalkers out there who want to see some clips of this, you've got to go to TLC's Wild Weddings because they have a really great segment of you and Garrett getting married. It's just a beautiful, beautiful sequence.
Thank you. That was when I got the call from a producer, I thought it was a joke. but they were like, oh, no, we were searching and, we thought we would, ask if you'd be interested in sharing that. And I was like, okay, of course. I mean, if it would inspire anybody else to go for it, because, we got questioned. I mean, we have, not all of our friends are huge Star Wars fans. And people that may, I'm sure you guys are, went through the same thing. People are like, you really going to do that? What are you going to do? And I'm like, if you don't want to come, don't come. I don't want you there. It's going to be a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. We'll send you the online link.
Yeah. Even our menu, our caterer that we found, huge Star Wars fan. And he came up because he asked us what we like to eat. I'm the pickiest eater. I'm like, I like cereal. He's like, well, we really need to have a wider variety.
All right, but, Cocoa Puffs and Lucky Charms.
Yeah. I mean, so we came up with Star Wars names for everything that we, oh gosh, I got to find the menu. It was, but we had mini cheeseburgers. I mean, there were all these different, I'm very true. I was like, okay, I like mashed potatoes and I like macaroni and cheese. And so we had things like that, but everything had a Star Wars name. And then we did blue milk shots and and Death Star cookies.
Nice.
Now, a few months ago when we had Steve Sansweet on the show, he told us a little bit about the weddings held there at Rancho Obi-Wan. What can you tell us about the wedding options there?
Well, had we known Steve at the time, we actually met Steve because of our wedding.
Uh-huh.
He heard about our wedding and how we met, saw Garrett at Lucasfilm doing, with the 501st and came up to Garrett, introduced himself. And he's like, if you guys need anything from Rancho Obi-Wan, you let me know.
Wow.
And I emailed Steve and I was like, you just met my stormtrooper. Did you mean that? He's like, of course I did. And we went that weekend and that's how we all met. And now we're like family. So that's another thing that it just brings people together. And had we had the option of getting married at Rancho Obi-Wan, we probably would have done that. Never even heard anything about Kerner Optical. We're going to renew our vows at Rancho. But I mean, Rancho Obi-Wan, it's, you know, it's not just, it's like, oh, you know, it's this place you have all these Star Wars toys and everything. And I'm like, it's 38 years of history of Star Wars and how it's affected our culture and our lives and our world. And it's something to experience. And the fact that it's like, yes, you can go and you can have a tour and, but you can also, you can have a birthday party if you wanted or a meeting and you can get married. So the options are pretty open. The main thing that people should know is that you can get married by Steve Sansweet. It is legal. He can marry you. He will talk to the bride and groom, you know, get to know you, help, you know, create the vows. He can go light side or dark side, more so if you like, but cater to how you want. We have, you know, the guest arrival and ceremony and photos. There's the Lavender Bee Farm is right across the road from Rancho. And they have the most amazing property there's like 5,000 lavender plants, beautiful grounds. The Sonoma Mountains are in the background. And it's just right across. And I say road because, you know, we're out in the country. And it's Sonoma County is breathtaking and beautiful. So you can have that, as we were talking earlier, you know, like that more of a traditional wedding setting, or you can get married inside the museum, have a tour of the museum, have your reception and your dinner inside the museum, wedding photos inside and out, because within you have everything Star Wars as a fan, and outside you have the beautiful scenery and backdrop of Sonoma County that you cannot take a bad picture. you just can't. I love going to Rancho, and I spend just as much time outside as I do inside.
Wow.
Now, when Steve officiates, does he wear his Ewok costume or his light blue bedspread sheet suit?
Yeah, he would wear either if you would like for him, because we still have that Ewok costume and it's on display at Rancho. yes. I mean, so it's, we can cater it to, if there's something specific, you know, it's like if you want to be standing by the vintage Kenner aisle or the giant, you know, Lego Vader or Boba Fett, or by the artwork, or I mean, there's so many options, and it's just, and we have amazing people that vendor wise that work with us. You know, we have access to their photography and catering and flowers, and, you know, so anywhere price-wise, depending on how many people you want, how extravagant you want to go, you know, you can get married at Rancho for as little as like a $2,800 donation.
Wow.
That's all
pretty
the way
big
up
package.
To obviously, you know, 15,000, but it's, and it all the money that goes to Rancho it goes for the upkeep of that museum.
Right.
It does not go to buy any items or products. And I think it's one of those things that I always like to really emphasize, because people are like, oh, I'm just going to donate money so you can buy more action figures. No, it's so that we can maintain the collection and preserve it and all that history and make sure that it's here, not just for us, but for future generations, because we want Star Wars to be forever and we want Rancho to be forever, long after we are one with the Force.
Yeah.
Just walking in there, you would know that just to air condition the place is going to be a couple of $1,000 a month. And that's going to need some help. So all the fans that can help and donate, so much the better, because all that stuff has really got to be in a climate-controlled area. Now, being the director of publicity, do you help in any way with the coordination of the wedding?
I did not. For the first one that we had, I was a little bit, but I will, depending on when it is and why, but I was on the team for the fundraising event, because the wedding was on a Friday, and our second annual fundraiser event was that Saturday.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, we had two events back to back. So it was like we split up. It was like wedding team and event team. So, and we had a lot of talent coming in from out of town to join us. So I was wrangling them. But it was awesome. The weather was perfect, and it just – and the wedding party then stayed for the event the next day.
Oh, perfect.
Well, yeah.
You have a fun job.
I do. I love my job. So I – yeah.
Where can people contact you to have the wedding at Rancho Obi-Wan if they're interested?
Any information that you'd want to find, you can go to RanchoObiWan.org.
Okay.
All the inquiries, you know, for events, including weddings, would go to, the email is info@RanchoObiWan.org.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah. Sarah and I were there about a year ago, and I just can't stress enough how beautiful this place is, inside and out.
It is, right? I mean, I get to go all the time and I get excited every time.
Steve's got a lot of great pieces, including a lot of pieces that were used in the film. Now, say if I were getting married there and I wanted to wear the 4LOM crotch piece, could I do that?
That you would probably have to negotiate with Mr. Sandsweet.
okay.
I know.
Okay. Just wondering.
It's so funny. But you know what? I wouldn't say that's completely off the table.
Oh, Sarah, we're getting remarried.
Yeah, there you go.
Renewing the vows.
You know, hold, instead of a bouquet, you know, just hold 4LOM's crotch.
Skywalking through Neverland.
Now let's take another break and share with you this week's special Skywalker of the Week.
Rick Peralta.
Congratulations, Rick Peralta. But Sarah, you know what this means.
What?
Rick owes us a favor.
Oh.
You know what that favor is, Rick? You gotta get the secret out of Eliza. You gotta ask your daughter who the voice of Chopper is.
That's right.
All right. As Hannibal Lecter said, quid pro quo, Clarice. You can private message us or leave it on our voicemail. Somehow I doubt that'll happen.
I don't know.
She's very hard to crack.
She is.
That
she
is. One little girl who will not give up a secret.
Now, Skywalkers, if you want to win your very own jingle, just share a post of this show or a tweet of this show or tweet out something about the show that you really thought was fun, and you may be entered to win your very own Skywalker of the Week jingle by Rob Dellinger.
The John Williams of podcasting.
So there's this one time where we're going through the beautiful Disney downtown. Not downtown Disney, but it was Hollywood Studios, and it was Star Wars Weekends, and it was the best time ever. And that was the time that Riley Blanton, hey, and
Bethany Blanton, hey guys.
Of the Star Wars Report podcast, hey everybody, met Richard and Sarah, and they were amazing. And I was like, oh, it's the Skywalking Through Neverland people. And it was just one of those times where Star Wars Weekends became an institution for us. And I'll never forget, like, walking down in line for the, I believe it was the brand new opening of the Seven Dwarves Mine Train at Disney, and chatting it up and getting to know each other, and even eventually kind of starting the tradition of the giant group podcasting that went on at the meetups that we've done at Disney. So anyway, I just wanted to wish Sarah, you and Richard a big, giant, hairy Wookiee-style a happy second year anniversary of Skywalking Through Neverland.
And I'd like to say I remember that moment too, but I had seen pictures of Sarah and Richard on social media, and I was like, wow, they have such great smiles for pictures, but I bet that they don't smile like that in person.
Uh-uh.
And that is not the case. They do indeed smile just as brilliantly in person, and it always makes my heart happy.
Yes, indeed. I too was a cynic at times, but you guys are genuinely that excited and passionate.
And cheerful. So I've loved meeting you guys, getting to know you a little better, and hopefully I can hang out with you more at future conventions.
Absolutely. So again, happy second anniversary to Skywalking Through Neverland. May it be magical, and may the Force be with you. Okay, bye.
Now, before we end our anniversary road trip special, we wanted to introduce to you a little girl we met a few weeks ago. She loves Star Wars, she loves Disneyland,
and she loves Kylo Ren.
She loves Kylo Ren a little too much. So here now on what she thinks will happen in The Force Awakens, merchandising, and cosplaying is 4-year-old Kaya Bucks. So your favorite movie is The Empire Strikes Back.
I got that. I totally got that.
Can you tell us what happens in The Empire Strikes Back?
He wants to be Darth Vader.
Who does?
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren becomes Darth Vader?
Yes.
Okay. Oh. And what happens in the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back?
The stormtroopers gather their ships. And they put up their guns.
And yes. Who wins in The Empire Strikes Back?
Kylo Ren.
You love Kylo Ren, huh?
Yes.
Is Kylo Ren a good guy or is he a bad guy?
He's a bad guy.
He's a bad... Wait a minute, we haven't seen the movie yet. How do you know he's a bad guy?
I know.
Because...
Is he dressed... What color is he dressed in?
He's dressed in black.
Which movie is Kylo Ren from?
He's from The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, right. And did you see the movie previews with Kylo Ren in them? Where he had his lightsaber?
Yes.
What's his lightsaber look like?
It was like red with white Darth Vader's.
Do you know what Kylo Ren sounds like?
He sounds like white Darth Vader's white talking.
If you were Kylo Ren, if you were going to say, "My name is Kaya," what would that sound like?
My name is Kaya.
There you go. So, well, can I talk about what you're dressed like today?
I'm wearing Rey.
Rey!
And can you tell us what your costume looks like? Because people can't see you, so can you tell them what it looks like?
It looks like I'm in the desert.
It's a costume she wears in the desert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the name of that desert planet?
Jakku.
Okay.
There you go. And when you saw Rey in the Force Awakens movie previews...
She was going...
She was in a hurry, wasn't she?
She was going to rescue...
She was going to rescue somebody?
Yes, it's a stormtrooper.
Oh, rescue a stormtrooper.
And it's Finn.
Because Finn, he was in a stormtrooper costume, right?
Yes.
But wait a minute, is Finn a good guy then, or is he a bad guy?
He's a good guy.
Oh, okay.
But he's wearing a stormtroopers are bad, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but if he's in a bad guy costume, wouldn't that make him a bad guy?
No.
No, okay.
It's just for 10.
Oh, so he's pretending to be a stormtrooper, you think?
Yes.
Why do you think Finn was wearing that costume? Who was he trying to fool?
Kylo Ren.
So Kylo Ren would think he's a bad guy when he's really a good guy.
Yes.
And then what do you think happens next?
And Ben feel it.
Finn.
Finn can feel...
The Force.
Finn can feel the Force. And when you have the Force, what kind of things can you do with it?
You just turn the lightsaber.
Now, you saw Luke use the Force in the Star Wars movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do with the Force?
He turns his lightsaber, then tried to beat Darth Vader.
So he used the Force to beat Darth Vader?
No, he beats Darth Vader.
He beats Darth Vader, okay.
Yeah, I have to find this one.
Now, you know what? In the beginning of that book, there was a picture of someone. Can you go to that picture again? Because I forget what his name is.
What?
The first couple of pages. Oh, that guy in the first page.
Wait, let's go back here.
Okay, now you're open to a page with this guy on it. Who's that guy?
It's Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Binks, huh?
Yes.
Is he funny?
Yes.
He is funny, huh?
And he says, "How rude!"
Yes, he does.
He's saying that to all the Jar Jar naysayers, huh?
Mm-hmm. And he said to the droids, "How rude!"
Aww.
You know, I don't think Jar Jar had said it any better than that.
No.
So now we're going to come up to The Force Awakens in just a few months, and we got a chance to see a lot of the new toys, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw on Force Friday. And
I heard you guys did a lot for Force Friday, and even after, you did a lot of shopping?
Yeah, we're in your bedroom right now, and there's a ton of stuff.
I got a book, then my mommy got this headphones.
Those are super cool. She has the Darth Vader, what are these, Miko headphones? Not Miko headphones. SMS audio headphones.
Yes.
Wow. I have to say, I'm very jealous of your room.
Yeah.
Because you have Star Wars everywhere. You even have, we were looking earlier, you have all these blasters and Chewie's crossbow. They're all lined up over here hanging from the wall. So in case some unsavory
yes,
people
then,
come.
Then I got this.
And what's
book.
That? What did R2-D2 just say?
He said...
Oh. Whoa. That's what he said. That's what he said. Is R2-D2 in The Force Awakens?
Yes.
What other droids are in The Force Awakens? Who is that round droid? One who rolls around?
What?
His name is Chewbacca, huh?
Chewbacca?
Yeah, that
would... The round name. Droid, right?
The round droid.
No.
And his head bobbles. His name is Chewbacca, right?
No.
No?
What is it? What's his name?
This guy right there?
That's BB-8.
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 Isn't that just what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. And you know what? I'm looking... Archer likes to talk. You know, and we're looking at a mask right over there. Who's that mask?
That's Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma. Now, is that a girl or a boy in that outfit?
That's a girl.
That's a girl. Oh. What color is her outfit?
It's super.
Silver, that's right.
Ah.
And she's got a long flowing cape, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, in the Disney store, you know, you have your awesome Rey outfit. Like, why did you pick Rey?
Because I gave me Abby's costume.
You like it?
Yes.
Yeah? And what about Phasma? Would you like that one too?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, I forget. Is Captain Phasma good or is she bad?
She's bad.
Oh. Wait a minute. How do we know that?
Because she's to the dark side.
She's on the dark side.
Oh.
Okay. Do you think that she is going to be stronger than Kylo Ren, or is Kylo Ren going to be stronger than her?
Kylo Ren's going to be stronger.
So it all comes back to Kylo Ren, huh?
Why do you think?
Yes. No. She's an Inquisitor.
She's an Inquisitor?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
You know what?
That's why the Inquisitor at Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting somewhere. And who do the Inquisitors look for?
They look for the Rebels.
The Rebels?
Yes.
What about people with lightsabers?
What are they called?
They're called Jedi.
Jedi, that's right. And now, for Halloween this year, who are you going to be?
I'm going to be Sabine Wren.
Sabine Wren from Star Wars Rebels, huh?
Yay! Yes.
And Sabine Wren, she's on the good side, right?
Yes.
And what color is Sabine Wren's hair?
It's orange and blue.
Yay!
And... Why are you going to be Sabine Wren for Halloween?
Because it's pretty.
And what kind of a weapon does she carry? Does she carry a lightsaber?
No. She carries a gun.
Carries a gun, okay. So have you been watching Star Wars Rebels?
Yes, I watch it all the time.
Aww. So you must be pretty excited in a couple weeks for the new series, huh? New
yes.
episodes?
Yes.
Yeah. And who's your other favorite Star Wars Rebels characters?
It's Chopper.
Chopper, that's exactly right. Now, you know what? When we first met you a couple of weeks ago, you were wearing a Darth Vader shirt, weren't you?
Yes.
And what was on that Darth Vader shirt?
It was a song. It was dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun.
Yay!
Yeah.
Called Darth Vader.
Darth.
It calls
the Imperial.
Imperial Marches.
The Imperial March. Okay. Are you excited about the other new Star Wars movies coming out too?
Yes.
Oh, you're just focusing one at a time on The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Aside from Captain Phasma and Kylo Ren and Finn and Rey and BB-8, who else is going to be in the movie?
It's going to be Poe, Chewbacca, and Kylo Ren, Stormtrooper, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker, that's right. And there's someone else. Who's the girl from the Star Wars movies who's gonna be in The Force Awakens?
It's going to be Princess Leia.
Princess Leia.
There you go.
All right, very good.
Then it's going to be Boba Fett.
Oh. Is he going to be in The Force Awakens?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Remember in Return of the Jedi when he fell down that sand pit and fell into the mouth of that big Sarlacc monster?
Yes.
Do you think he got out?
Yes, it's Boba Fett.
Oh, good. Now, do you play any of the Star Wars video games?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I still have to get for Christmas.
What Star Wars game do you hope to get for Christmas?
It's the Disney Bunny.
Disney Infinity?
Yes.
Yes. For Christmas, huh?
Yes, then we were in Baby Turtles last time. Then I sold that Christmas Lego Star Wars toy.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. You like the Lego Star Wars, right?
Yes. Yes, it's Christmas.
Oh,
a Lego Star Wars advent calendar.
Yes, it's really cute.
Oh, I've always wanted one, but I don't know. They're
expensive.
Yes, wasn't going to say it, but yes.
Very,
yes.
Very expensive, yes.
Yes, I might get it on Christmas too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You are a lucky girl.
You know what? The Force Awakens opens a week before Christmas, so the odds are pretty good, huh? Do you have any other Star Wars Lego toys?
No.
Are you going to start off with the advent calendar and work your way up?
Yes. And last time I got some Star Wars Lego teachings. I did build it at Celebration. I did.
What did you
Celebration?
Build? What did you build at Star Wars Celebration?
That is an X-Wing.
An X-Wing you built at Star Wars Celebration?
A little small X-Wing?
Yes.
Like a little baby one?
So, speaking of Star Wars Celebration, did you have a blast there? Did you have a good time?
Yes.
Did you see any of the Star Wars characters walking around?
I saw one character. I saw Darth Maul.
Oh.
I was scared.
I bet.
Then Mommy took a picture. Then I was, like, just scared.
Are you still scared of Darth Maul now? He is scary, huh?
Just a little bit.
Whoa.
Did you do the Jedi Training Academy at Disneyland?
Yes.
You do it, like, all the time, huh?
Yes.
Oh.
Every time you go, you're pretty much picked, correct?
Yes.
You know what? I want to hear all about your adventure.
Yes.
At the Jedi Training Academy. Who did you fight?
I fight Darth Vader. I fight Darth Vader. I bow him, bite him with a lightsaber. Then one Jedi Master came. Last time I saw the black one.
The black Jedi Master?
Yes.
And did he train you to use the Force and the lightsaber?
Yes. Then Darth Vader was coming out. I had to run down to the floor. Oh. Did Darth Vader don't see me? I had to run faster and faster. Then it was almost my turn. I bite him with a lightsaber. I got purple lightsaber.
Who was harder to beat, Darth Vader or Darth Maul?
Darth Vader.
Okay, Kaya, so before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to talk about regarding Star Wars or The Force Awakens?
Yes, well, I got a Leia costume.
You got a Leia costume too?
Yes.
So you have, okay, let me get this.
Daniel was too big for me.
Oh, but that's okay, you can grow into it, right?
Yes, I got a better one. We got the scissors and cut the hair, the buns.
Can we talk about Disneyland for a minute?
Yes.
Now, you love to go to Disneyland, right? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Disneyland ride?
It's I know I can say Star Wars again.
That's okay. You can say Star Wars again. You can say Star Wars
as many times as you like.
Star Tours.
Star Tours. Star Tours. Which planet do you like to visit on Star Tours?
Boba Fett's planet.
Do we see Boba Fett?
Yes.
In the asteroid chase?
Yes. Then we keep not getting it. We just get everyone we all like. Everyone we don't like.
Oh, you keep getting the wrong ones when you go.
Yes.
In November, they're going to have Season of the Force. Do you know what that is?
A Star Wars land.
A Star Wars land?
Yes.
Oh, that's coming. That's coming very, very soon.
All the Space Mountain is going to be decorating with Star Wars stuff. Then they're going to make them a... Then people can riot. Then they're going to have characters. Everything is going to be gone. Everything is going to be gone to build Star Wars Land.
Everything will be gone with Star Wars Land. That's...
Yes.
Yep, pretty much.
Have you been talking to the folks over at Disneyland?
No.
Yeah, you know what they're gonna bring a bulldozer over and just knock the whole park down?
Yeah, it's going to be like a black hole.
And call it Star Wars Land. Would you like that?
Yes.
Gonna knock down that castle? Gonna knock down all those churro and turkey leg stands?
No.
Gonna
I don't like those churros. I hope they'll knock those churros down.
You don't want to knock the churros down?
No.
You like churros?
How about the turkey legs?
Yeah.
Right. So the bulldozer will go around the churro stand and knock over the turkey leg stands.
I don't like.
They'll make sure not to touch Star Tours.
Okay, I'm not.
But they'll hit that Astro Blasters. I think we're all done with that anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Kaya, you know what? Do you want to tell everyone how old you are?
Yes.
How old are you?
4.
4 years old.
Yes.
On already into Star Wars. You were raised properly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell everyone goodbye now?
Yes, goodbye.
Well, that wraps up our road trip anniversary episode 94 of Skywalking Through Neverland.
And if you're still wondering, we are still passing through the desert.
We now are.
I see phone lines. We're near civilization. So we want to go ahead and thank everyone who made this experience unlike anything we could have ever imagined. 2 full years.
Wow.
And we want to thanks to everyone who sent in messages. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank little 4-year-old Kaya Box for sharing all her Star Wars thoughts and spoilers.
Oh, wow, what an awesome episode. And if you want to get in touch with us, please tweet at us at SkywalkingPod. And you can find all the other fun links to our social media at SkywalkingThroughNeverland.com. And we love it when you guys contact us. So, yay! Thank you so much.
All right, that does it. Signing out, this is Richard.
This is Sarah.
Reminding you, Neverland in Las Vegas. Wait, what? Oh. Neverland in Reno. I said it again. I got Vegas on the brain. All right. One, two, three. Neverland at the Treasure Island Casino. I did it again.
No.
I think it was again.
Circus. That's right. That was some inside info given to us by our Vegas Skywalkers. Thank you for that awesome meetup, by the way. We had a really fun time.
So, once again, Neverland... On Alderaan.
Some imagination, huh?
Thank you, Las Vegas, for having us. Good night. Get some sleep.
To our Skywalkers and Tweetwalkers, thanks for listening. Have you left an iTunes review yet? Skywalking Through Neverland is created and produced by Richard and Sarah Woloski. Segment producers are Dave Parfit, Dave Scale, and Norma Heitman. Original music by Rob Dellinger. Creative consultant, Mark Ogushewitz. Technical advisor, Peter Heitman. Facebook administrators, Donald Wicks and Joey Pittman. Skywalking Through Neverland is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Sounds, music, and clips played during this podcast are the property of their copyright holders. All original content is property of Skywalking Through Neverland, copyright 2015. All rights reserved.
Sorry, it had to be said. Can you say, my name is Kaya, and I'm skywalking through Neverland?
My name is Ghost. I'm Stalker Rocker.
One of the highlights of Star Wars Weekends in 2014 was meeting all our new podcast friends, including Jedi Schwa, Josh, to our spooktacular contest
of awesomeness.